The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
And why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king, and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watch. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watch.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's as fair as horrible. Anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch here, along with Paul Perillo. Andy Hart will be by in a little bit, and Eric will be here later in the day with the practice update. But we're here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots football as we do every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 12 to 2 on PFW in Progress down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. And we're excited because the Patriots are going to make it 10-3 this week, going down to Washington to beat Mike Shanahan and the Washington Redskins. But we're going to talk about it because there's still leftovers from the Colts game. Talk about what the plans are going into Washington, and of course still hanging over everything is the cloud that is the flex decision still to be made. First time in NFL history the league has waited until Wednesday to make a flex decision on a game. Of course I'm talking about the Denver game next week, Denver against the Patriots. Right now it's scheduled for 4:15 on CBS, but maybe by the end of this show, in fact, it could be NBC Sunday night. We'll see.
Sure.
So we've got all that to talk about. Plus, I think there's going to be some additional listener on listener crime this show. I've been getting a lot of emails sparked mostly by Jeff in Vegas, people wanting to get their two cents in listener on listener crime. Not all directed at Jeff, but some of it. So we'll get to that later in the show as well. So, guys, you just came from the locker room. What's going on down there?
A lot of interesting stuff. A lot of Andre Carter today. He was talking for a good 15 minutes, open locker room. He got a lot of praise from Bill Belichick in the press conference for his professionalism, his work ethic, his, obviously, physique and the condition he's in. But I thought the interesting aspect of that was Carter saying he thought there was a chance he was done. This offseason with the lockout and veterans not getting signed, and he had some concern. He's not saying he physically thought he was done, but he thought the chances might be kind of drying up, quote unquote. And
right.
Now he's obviously having a very good year here on pace for a double-digit sack season. Although our negative fans, Bill's praising him. Instantly I'm getting tweets. Somebody ask him where Carter's been the last 2 weeks, why he hasn't sniffed a cord.
Oh, jeez.
Everybody's so negative. Pass rushers don't get there all the time.
Unbelievable.
It's the nature of the beast. As we said in the locker room, I was talking about with Paul, if you're great, you get one a game. If you're really good, you get 10 over 16 games. Nobody gets there all the time with this great regularity.
Right.
And as Paul also said, maybe teams started noticing, this Andre Carter still got a little something left. We better block him.
What is the record for most sacks in the season? That's still
Strahan? Yeah, 22 or 3.
Yeah. I think it's 23.
Well, you take away the one that Favre just fell down.
Well, then it's not the record.
Right. That's not the record, then.
But, yeah, that's truly great right there. That's one of those special seasons. But great guys get 16 to 18, you know, a little more than one a game, the Wares and those types of people that do it. And I thought it was interesting in answering about Carter and then asked about Ahedibo shortly thereafter. He said a lot of the same things as Carter, talking about Ahedibo. Great condition, great leadership, works, everything about being a professional with Ahedibo. And obviously he's not, you know, the stature of player that Carter is. He hasn't played defense for a decade and all these things. So I thought high praise for James Ahedibo, who people can hear more from Thursday night, 7:30 Comcast, Patriots Football Weekly TV.
Oh, great.
Alongside Andy Hart.
The, you know, the
A little shorter, too. He was closer to eye level, which is nice for once.
The Carter thing, getting back to that, not getting as close to the quarterback the last couple of days, does that coincide anything with, you know, this 3-3-5 thing? Maybe they are playing more back to that, you know, three-man technique and, you know, looking, you know, just to, you know, you don't think so?
No. I think personally that he was playing very well and teams noticed. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Andy Anderson sniffed him? Well, I'm just going to get into that. Andy wrote a Pulse story about how Anderson and Carter have sort of been complimenting each other and playing, you know, you called it a buddying pass rush. You know, it's coming on, and it's worked in concert. Bill talked to Andy last week about how, it helps to have a guy on one side knowing what the guy on the other side is doing so you don't end up both out of position.
Was I naive there, by the way? Because I'd never really thought about it.
I never gave that any thought.
To anybody about it before. About the idea of guys that are, you know, five offensive linemen away from each other are, you know, having to read the same things, you know, be on the same page.
Yeah, Bill's answer made all the sense in the world, but I just always thought you're an edge rusher. Your job is to get after the quarterback whatever way you can. Well, not necessarily. You don't want to do it the same way the other guy's doing it. That way, if you both fail and end up behind the quarterback, you're leaving
two
a lot of pressure on those inside
guys.
Yeah. As Bill said, two guys to fill cover five gaps, impossible. So in the last couple of games, Anderson has been less active because they've been doing more in terms of stopping the run with LeSean McCoy in Philadelphia.
Right.
And then this week, knowing that Indianapolis wasn't going to be you know, chucking it all over the yard, they were going to try to run the ball. Bill made a big point about how, despite how inefficient they've been offensively, the Colts have run the ball better this year than they have over the past decade. So that was the emphasis going in, was to stop the run. So it's been more Brandon Dederick and less Mark Anderson. That affects Andre Carter.
Okay. Oh, that, so there is an explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Who else was talking? You had Ahedibo. You had Carter.
Paul had a one-on-one with
Matt Light. I talked to
Matt
Light for a little bit.
Matt Light, how's he doing?
I talked to him about Nate Solder.
Yeah.
Which I always appreciate because I know it's not an easy thing to do for players to talk about another player.
Especially when they're told it from the head coach, don't talk about another player.
Don't do that. And I prefaced by saying, I know you guys don't like to do this, but Bill just talked a lot about Nate Solder in the press conference. And, you know, Bill was praising his flexibility, his versatility that he saw right away in training camp. And he's sort of been giving more and more, adding more and more to his plate. More things than we would probably think of. We know that he's been playing left and right tackle, you know, from practice. But also, you know, we know that he's playing the extra tight end. Well, Bill's bringing up things that they've been adding lately, like kickoff return and field goal unit and stuff like that. He showed it quickly at an early stage that he was able to handle these things with how well he played both sides in training camp. And I asked Light about it because, you remember, you know, Bill said, you know, we tried it with Matt and it just didn't work. It was a disaster. And he said, and I asked him about it. He said, yeah, no, he goes, I had to play the left side. I couldn't do it. And I really respect that he's able to do those things. It's not easy to do. Talked to him a little bit about how hard it is mentally. He's like, I had all I could do to know left tackle. Mm. When I was a rookie and I came in, that was hard. And for him to be serving as an extra tight end, working, you know, in different personnel groups, filling in for Vollmer at right tackle as the starter. He's been very impressed. Talked about his athleticism is something that really jumped. I asked him, what about Solder has really jumped out at you when he said his athleticism, which I wasn't surprised at.
No question.
With that, but I still wanted to hear
Light
from him.
Run out to make those impossible blocks that we like to talk about on those wide receiver screens.
And Matt's pretty, it was
and
pretty
he's athletic. But
as
Solder,
as I said to Matt, I go, you used to be athletic.
Something wrong with the like the audio.
It's a little crackly.
Yeah, and it's a little loud. Like ass. Little tinny.
Sounds like ass.
Are we all right? We having issues
sounds
in
like
there?
Ass.
Hurting my
He's
ears.
He's busy. Yeah, it's giving me a headache, and it sounds like crap.
Yeah. What's going on
Bang
back
on
there,
that
Kevin?
Window. Everything sounds
He's
like
even
ass.
Listening to
He's
the
not.
Show.
He was rubbing his big forehead.
No, I was on the phone. So.
The audio was a little hot, like
crackly.
Ass.
Yeah, and like high pitched.
That sounded a little loud.
Matt just told me to jam the mics up from upstairs, so that's why I turned them up. I'll turn them back down to normal.
Yeah, it was just a little loud.
Maybe that's it. Maybe
and like crackly and tinny. And...
Well, I jammed him way up because Matt told me to turn him up because I think he's listening from upstairs. So,
well, tell him to turn his own computer up.
There you go.
So, because you know that was hurting my ears. Hmm. I hope not our listeners.
I apologize, Fred.
All right, webradio@patriots.com 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
I also had a long conversation with Kevin Falk.
Oh,
started out talking about the running game, which I'm writing about this week, and talked to Brian Waters about that as well, but then went off into, I said, how you doing? And you're always happy and I'm playing football. I said, yeah, by the way, what are you going to do when you're done playing football? You've had a little time to think about that. He goes, yeah, I know, like a year and a half. And he's got his little fingers in more businesses than, he's got the Burger King's
right.
that he's involved in.
Oh,
the
Naked pizza.
Pizza,
yeah.
Which, you know, I talked to him for a while about that. He's got a valve company. Offshore drilling oil valve company thing. He's got an 18-wheeler car wash that is expanding into self-storage behind the 18.
Self-storage?
I mean, he's got his little fingers in a lot of little stuff.
That's good. He's diversifying.
Told him if he ever makes, which is good, because Paul and I were talking, I thought Burger King was like close to going out of business, that they're really struggling. And he said that the economy has affected it, and they're changing their menus and doing everything, but... and then I asked him, I said, you ever make it big and you need somebody to, you know, do a little writing, marketing, PR. I won't move, so don't expect me to come to Louisiana. But if I can do it from here, I'd be happy to help you out.
Falk Inc.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it. What do you say to that? Do you have a job for you?
He goes, why wouldn't you move?
What do you say?
You don't want to come down where it's hot?
What do you say to that? Did you have a job for us?
No, he said, you don't want to come down where it's hot? I go, yeah, no, I don't. It's very hot down there.
And it's not.
No, thanks. I go, yeah, no.
It's not a pleasant
telecommute.
Climate.
I go, in this day and age with computers and everything, I can do everything from here.
You really can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not a pleasant climate.
Well, you get used
Louisiana.
To it. If you grew up
it's
there,
so
you kind of get used to it.
Sticky and humid.
Yeah.
It's not the heat that gets you.
You know, people think.
Yeah, like Southern California is a nice, like, nice climate.
Yeah.
San Diego, beautiful.
Drier.
Dry. Warm.
Yeah.
Southern Florida, you know, like the Gulf Coast.
Moist.
Sticky.
Yeah, moist. Yeah.
I just think it's funny that those other things I think are investments you'd expect players to have, car washes, restaurants. I got a valve company, offshore drilling involved in the oil industry.
Who was it? Wasn't it Bledsoe that had the, or Aikman? One of them had the way of taking oil out of water, and they were pitching it during, you know, the BP crisis down in the
It was
the
one
Gulf.
Of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, it was a quarter.
I don't think it was Drew.
No, who
no,
was
it?
No, it
wasn't Drew.
No. Was it Aikman? I'm not sure
I don't
if it was
think
Aikman.
It was Aikman.
It was a big quarterback, though.
You're right, it was.
Damn it. Now it's going to drive me crazy.
Well, that's all right. Strippers will tell
Somebody
us.
Will email in.
Yeah. It's going to drive me crazy. But he had a company that does that. It took oil out of water. I don't know. We'll
get it because that was interesting.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com 508-298-0398. We might as well hop right into it, right? Is there anything? Patriots made a transaction today. They signed a receiver onto the practice squad.
Doran Dickerson.
Doran Dickerson. So, you know, they had an open spot because they brought
out
up
Pitt.
Yeah.
And cut.
By the Texans.
Price. Yeah.
Who was – oh, yeah, because McDonald was the guy, right?
Right. They brought him up. Other than that, we're waiting for the flex decision.
And Bill was praising the Shanahans. I thought it was interesting he – added the sun in to a lot of this stuff about them being, you know, great schemers and everything they do.
Because yeah.
I just think of Shanahan Jr. as
well. I thought
daddy's son.
I thought it was interesting that, you know, when he started his press conference today, he said, you know, it really starts at the top in Washington with Mike Shanahan. You know, no regard for anybody above that. You know, so I don't know if he said that on purpose or.
You may very well be right, but I don't think he would. I mean, does he start at the top with any owner around the league? Sometimes is that what you're saying? No, it was a slight at Snyder?
But sometimes a GM or Snyder.
Shanahan's really the GM.
Is he right now?
Yeah.
They don't have another
But game? I do think some people would start with Kraft. It starts at the leadership level they get, and it trickles all down the
Let's
way they
do
business.
Let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would say in that, you know, I don't know. I just don't think that's a slight of an owner.
I think some would start with Kraft.
I could see your point about someone saying with the Patriots, you know, it's great ownership on down because Robert is so revered around the league and respected. But I don't think that not saying the owner
right. Okay.
when saying it starts at the top is a shot. Now, you might be right, Fred.
I don't know.
Because I know Bill, and very little of what he says is by accident.
Right.
So you might be right. I don't know.
All right, Web Radio.
One side note. Well, you probably didn't notice this, but Bill always has his sleeves cut off on his sweatshirts.
Yeah.
You're insane.
He walks in today with sweatpants that had a tight cuff on them or some sort of, and they're pulled up to his knees. I think he must have like this circulation issue or phobia of having his shin/forearms covered. I mean, they were essentially capris, and he wears those cutoffs a lot.
Well, I get hot. The first thing I do when I get home is take my pants off.
So just
have
wear
a few
shorts.
Cocktails,
so why doesn't he just
off?
Wear shorts if he's hot all the time? He wears these weird capri length, rolled up, cut off something.
Well, then
something.
Then you go outside. You don't have to put in something else on. You just knock them down.
Yeah, I don't care for it.
So remember when we were having our, Fred, you were talking about the flex thing.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get to the bottom of that. Andy and I were talking to Mike Reese in the locker room about a question at the press conference by our buddy Crapsheet.
Wow, we're back to that.
Yeah, no, we are.
Our full-fledged hatred.
We are, because I think...
Well, I never left that. Only he did.
I think that...
He waffled for a while.
Well, he asked, and I granted, and then he gave us reason to not follow that anymore. But I think that when you do work, your work is open to criticism.
Right.
Right? My work is open to criticism.
Sure.
Why shouldn't his be?
Sure.
So anyway...
Sometimes just professional courtesy.
Okay,
but, all right.
The rap sheet.
Okay.
Okay, there's the professional courtesy. I'll let Andy continue with the name calling.
If he was a professional, he'd get some courtesy.
He asked Bill about that situation, the flex situation. You know, and he's trying to ask in terms of logistics, you know, travel,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But you know he's not going to get anything from it, right? You know he's going to get, we're not talking about the Broncos right now. We're worried about the Redskins. And
right.
And we all sort of joked that the only reason he asks that is so he can say, I asked Belichick. And sure enough, Andy, on Twitter, I don't know if you saw this, I asked Belichick about the TV battle for the Tebow game, #deathstare. I don't really care about the Broncos game this week.
You know, I wish the death stare had worked.
Belichick. but that's exactly why he asks the question. So he can run to Twitter and run to his blog to tell everybody, me, I.
Okay.
Well, I asked Bill about, you know, our little pet peeve of Stephen Ridley turning his back on the defender?
Yeah.
I asked Bill about it. Didn't really answer it, but Paul took it as a definitive he doesn't like it. The way he answered it, saying all running backs, there's certain fundamentals you ask and certain ways of doing things, and then you allow them to kind of branch off from there and their creativity.
And we asked Stephen Ridley to run backwards?
I don't think that's true.
Oh, okay.
So Paul took it as a definitive, he doesn't like that.
Well, I think that he answered it. I actually answered all of Andy's questions, I thought, pretty well today.
Well, I mean, he and I are boom, boom, boom this season.
Well, you're a football guy.
That's true.
Yeah.
And he knows that my eye catches these types of things that most people miss.
Strippers, by the way, says ex-Cowboys quarterbacks Aikman Bledsoe offer solution for clearing
so
oil from golf.
It was both of them.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
I had not heard about that for Drew.
Yeah. So I was on the right track there. I just needed to
Which
combine.
Which is rare for you.
Yeah. I just remember that distinctly.
And usually you're veering wildly off the tracks.
I just thought it was really odd, you know,
right.
Two quarterbacks in that business. All right, let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398, Ace Ticket Hotline. Mike is standing by in Florida. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
You calling to defend your climate?
Actually, it does take some getting used to, I'll tell you.
It smells.
I wouldn't leave it for anything now.
Well, my ears in Tampa, I can attest to that.
Absolutely. I grew up in Cranston, but so listen.
Sorry
Fred,
about that.
You would give me a chance to talk three subjects here. First, I'd like to thank Auto Trader for my gift card, and my wife would like to thank Andy for giving it to her.
Whoa! The gift card?
I do my best.
Listen, I want to kind of piggyback on Big Al yesterday without the emotion about time management. It has to do with the Giants freaking Green Bay game. And I root against Green Bay as much as I root for the Pats winning because I don't want them going 16-0. I feel it'll diminish our record, you know. But did you guys see the last minutes of that game?
Yes.
I did, yes.
Okay.
Fred and I.
A minute 37 seconds left. Giants on the 3-yard line. Two incomplete passes. Tell me, I was yelling and screaming. They had to run at least once, maybe twice.
No.
You guys think the same thing or what?
I did not. I think you have to score. You're down 8 points. You have to score. You can't decide.
Rodgers had 58 seconds to score a field goal, not even a touchdown.
Yeah, no, I had a good feeling that Green Bay was going to score too, but I just think that you can't play with the clock when you're down by 8 points. You have to score.
Even with a minute 37?
You can do that when you only need three.
Well, if you run the ball and waste a play and then you end up not getting in, then what do you say? Well, maybe you shouldn't try to be fancy with the clock.
I know. There's a lot of ifs. I know. I just thought that there was way too much time and they had to consider that.
Yeah, see, I understand totally what you're talking about because clock management drives me insane. But I just feel like when you're down in a situation, now, if they're down two and all they need is a field goal,
then you
by all means, you're taking a knee and you're running the clock down as far as you can to kick the field goal. But you had to get in the end zone, and you needed as much time. Hey, not only they had to get in the end zone, they had to get the two.
Right.
So if they score a touchdown and miss the two, they need as much time as they can to get the onside kick.
Yeah, and try to get a field goal.
You can't play with the clock in a situation like that.
I didn't even think about that point about the onside kick, so that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, listen, secondly, you know, it's really tough to be frustrating being a Pats fan because you can't argue with the results over the last 10 years. They're second to none. But, you know, Bill has been getting, I think rightly so, a lot of criticism as a GM. But I wonder if it's not necessarily the players they're picking, but the coaching that's being done after their pick, because a lot of these guys that we're cutting now started off hot, you know, or started off on an upward trajectory, and then they just kind of faded. And I just wonder if a lot of that actually has more to do with coaching than picking players.
Well, you know, this gets back to, you know, was Bill spread too thin and, you know, the level of experience that he's surrounding himself with.
Yeah, I don't think it's about spread too thin. It's are the coaches good enough?
Yeah.
Did you luck out or were you fortunate to have both Crennel and Weiss and then below them guys who Mangini and McDaniels and guys who've gone on to be pretty good coaches in other areas?
I mean, it's really the same argument you're making with the defense. You know, when they were good, they had the McGinnis and the Bruskies and all these guys making plays. And, you know, you can make the argument when they were in their heyday, they had the Manginis and the McDaniels, all these guys.
Dable.
Yeah.
That's starting to become, that's getting traction, that line of thinking. And listen, I think it's an issue that's worth talking about because I think Bill is making it one worth talking about. He keeps turning over that secondary position. They keep changing.
You know what?
So obviously he's not real happy
with
it either.
He's doing the same thing in the coaching as he's doing with the players.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think that's a
that's
relevant point to talk about.
No, but I mean, they moved Matt Patricia back there for a reason this year. He needed to stabilize that back, you know.
Maybe.
The messaging, the communication back there.
Maybe.
Well, why else would you do it?
Because the guy that they wanted to promote because of his only promote from within theory was only able to coach the front. That's how I look at it. He was a pass rush specialist guy.
But this has been going on for linebackers like 3 years now. They brought in Corin Brown.
Buddy Graham?
You know, after 1 year, they got rid of Corin Brown. You know, they've been working at this for a while now.
You don't think that had some other issues involved?
Well, no, but they brought him in for a reason. It didn't work out. So
that's what I'm saying. They've it's not just this season.
I think that one had little to nothing to do with on-field coaching.
No, but what I'm saying is
that didn't work.
No, but I'm saying why did they bring him in in the first place?
We've had four secondary coaches in 5 years or something like that, right? Joel Collier, Corin Brown, Josh Boyer, now Matt Patricia.
Well, Josh Boyer's still there.
But don't you think if they were really happy with that, they wouldn't have just a safeties coach?
I'm not sure. I think that was, you have a defensive coordinator, and his name is Matt Patricia.
No question.
You have a position that was without a person, and you had a person who was without a position. And for all those dominoes to fall,
It worked out the way it did.
Listen to me. I think you could write a book on just this defensive backfield, from the coaching changes to the personnel changes.
Sure.
There's something going on there that Bill Belichick does not like, and he's trying to figure out.
Sure.
You know, you don't get rid of guys in the middle of the season like he has for no, you know, just because.
Hey, to that point too. Look at talking about defensive coordinator. Look what Buddy, what's his name over there, did for the Texans. They were the worst in the league last year, and now they're one of the best.
Wade Phillips.
The coordinator change.
Well, right. Wade Phillips is good.
He's a good coordinator. Yeah, he always has been.
A coordinator alone pretty much changed that defense from the worst to one of the best.
But you're never going to get that. So it's Bill's system. He's not going to bring in a guy like that with a system.
And see, that's the whole thing. But we have to separate again, and I don't want to get into this big argument, separate between the system or the, you know, the architecture and the coaching. I think you can upgrade the coaching without having to change the system.
Right, but you need to upgrade it through just good people, not big names.
But
you're never going to get a big name to come in and be your corners coach.
Exactly.
Wade Phillips. I'm just going to come in and teach fundamental corner play. No, I'm above that.
Right.
So what you need to do is hit on the young whatever guys that you're finding in other college programs.
Before,
Nick Saban may have some corners coach who you can bring in.
Before Eric Mangini became a good coordinator, he was probably a damn good coach. And that would be more valuable. That would be more valuable to the Patriots right now than
a
high-priced guy.
And let's be honest, you lucked out with Bill O'Brien.
Another secondary coach, by the way.
Yeah,
who
exactly?
Most people said sucked. I mean, if you talk to guys off the record,
really?
No one was ever all that high on Eric Mangini's coaching skills around here.
All right,
they weren't. You talk to enough guys, but you lucked out on Bill O'Brien. You got a guy who just kind of wanted to make the jump and was a good offense. To me, they were very lucky in that area, or you could be saying the same things on offense. I think you got a guy well above his pay grade to come in and be a jag bottom of the, you know, copy guy. Remember him? He used to come up to our office and make copies outside your door.
Sure.
And now he's your offensive coordinator. I think you were very fortunate that a guy of that experience was willing to take that role and develop with you.
Yeah. But, you go back to Dean Pease. I mean, you know, this has been ongoing. All right. Anything else, Mike?
Yeah, please, two quick things. The Texans have the Patriots have had the most second-round draft picks in the league over the last 5 years, and two of the Texans' outside linebackers were second-round picks that you guys liked, I think. Barwin and the Arizona guy, they're playing pretty well.
Brooks Reed,
yeah, they're both playing pretty well. And also, you think when Bill does this, it's like when he's doing his press conferences, is that kind of a slap at the press or what?
I think he legitimately has like a nasal problem or a post-nasal drip or something, because he's always stuffed up and has phlegm. And I think part of that is when I get worn down, when I don't get the proper amount of sleep, I get like that. His whole life is like that. He never gets the proper amount of sleep. So he's always a little something going on
there. I do worry about his health.
You should.
I wish he would take better care of himself.
He should. Go home. Have fun.
Thanks, guys.
All right, peace out.
Thanks for the call.
I never loved Connor Barwin. Brooks Reed is a second-round pick I was intrigued by as just a pure pass rusher. I didn't want him. Everybody was saying he was going to be the pick at 17. I wanted nothing to do with him. But, you know, as one of our many second-round picks, I'd be happy to throw him out there and see what he could do.
I agree. I didn't like Connor Barwin at all. I don't know how well
he was Vrabel 2.0. He's been pretty good.
I didn't really like him a lot, so I missed on that.
I think the only reason Patriots fans wanted him is because he looked like Mike Vrabel, sounded like Mike Vrabel, played a little tight end, did this, did that, wada wada, hoota bada.
All right, let's go stick on the phones. Lucas from France is calling. Bonjour.
Oui, oui.
Hello.
Hello.
You didn't really live up to that.
Lucas, you there?
Yeah, I'm there, boy.
Okay.
Are you an American or are you a Frenchman?
Well, I learned English.
So. Okay.
Why?
Just wondering. Proceed. Sounds like this might take a while.
All right. Well, I have two statements to make, basically.
Okay.
I want to, because before the preseason opener, I made a statement via mail that I just thought that, you know, Rob Ninkovich was Mike Vrabel number two. And I just think he looks exactly like him. He's got, you know, wears number 50 and the same type of Eastern European last name. And so I wrote that by email. Then no offense to you know, Andy and Paul, but they, you know, sort of you know, shut me down and basically. And who?
Don't take it personally.
That was early this year. You were that far ahead of the curve.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that because I think it was probably last week's the PFW show, and Paul made a comment that, you know, Rob Nikvinch is playing well. He looks like a lot of like Mike Vrabel and very versatile. And, you know, it made me smile, and I thought, hey, you know, I was right at a certain point. So I just thought, you know, do you guys, you know, really think the same way? Not that, you know, he has, you know, 10-point sacks this season, but I think there's a lot of similarities between both of these guys.
Yes, I think there's some similarities that we saw the day he walked on the practice field 3 years ago. It was the first thing we talked about when he got here. Was he came out number 50. He looked just like him. He hadn't shaved. He had the beard. And he said even the coaches, I mean, and the players joked, hey, it's Vrabel 2.0.
Yeah, that's been a common theme.
And Bill Belichick told him to watch tape of Mike Vrabel.
Now, the only thing that I think doesn't lend itself to Mike Vrabel is I don't think he's nearly as good.
Hey, nobody thought Mike Vrabel was as good, you know.
Right.
At 28 years old, he didn't
I thought Vrabel was good in his first season in New England in 2001 when he was an impact player to help him
like
win the Super Bowl.
He was 29 years old.
Right,
he was like 29 years old.
How old's Mike, I mean, Rob
in 2001?
Mikovic.
He's 27, but he's been playing as a starter last year.
Yeah, exactly. It's taken him 3 years in New England to do nothing. I think he's been a guy that's shown up in like two or three games.
Yeah, but you're not being fair because Vrabel was a third-round pick and he did nothing in Pittsburgh.
That's incorrect. That's completely incorrect.
Well, he was a role player in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
He contributed that way. Yeah.
But he wasn't out of the league.
No.
Like Rob Ninkovich was.
No.
Rob Ninkovich was going to be a full-time long snapper for a team in this league. That's not saying he was a developmental linebacker, right? And I don't know how long we're going to give him to develop here. Mike Vrabel in 2001 became a very good player for this defense.
In his, what, fourth or fifth year in the league?
Right. And to me, Ninkovich has now been here as a starter for 2 years and is fine. This is not against Rob Ninkovich. This is just...
He's one of our favorites.
He's not going down the Vrabel road unless he makes the famous Paul Perillo year 17 jump on defense.
I'm going to start throwing some of those back in your face.
Well, I think he can. I just have, you know, a good feeling about it.
Okay, good.
All right.
I'd like to see it because he's one of the nicest guys in the locker room. I would love to see him turn into an impact guy. I would love to. But right now, to me, he's a backup linebacker who's forced to start on a team that doesn't have enough linebackers.
And he's played well the last, I'd say, month
sure.
plus. He's played
fine.
Really well.
He's fine.
How'd you say, Belichick? All right.
Are you mocking the guy? That's not very nice. That guy called in all the way from France, and you mocked him.
No, I like it the way the French when the French people speak English. It's like, how do you say biscuit? You know,
wet biscuit.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge, hey Eldridge.
You coming to me?
Yeah. What's wrong with the phone?
No, not you. It's the other Eldridge on the phone. Hold on.
who should the Patriots sign today?
Patriots, I'm doing pretty good. I got a question for you.
Okay.
Who in the H is wide receiver Doran Dickerson?
He's on the practice squad now.
Okay, where you come from?
Pittsburgh. The school, not the
Houston
team.
Texans.
Yeah, the Texans.
Texans. Anybody ever seen him play?
Nope.
Oh, he's played, what, seven games? Is that true?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'll give you the rundown off the release right now. Hold, please.
I don't believe I liked him coming out. This is where I need my little sheets from the pre-draft a couple of years ago.
23 years old, Eldridge. Second-year player, originally drafted by the Texans in the seventh round out of Pittsburgh in 2010. As a rookie, he played in seven games, mainly on special teams. 6'2", 227 pounds, released by the Texans September 3rd of this year, and was then signed to the Steelers practice squad before being released 3 days later. During his college career, he played wide receiver, linebacker, and tight end.
So there you go, the versatility.
Yes, we like guys that can do a lot of things at an average level.
At an average level. So in other words, we give away something that might have been great that nobody never seen for a wannabe.
Yep.
Hopefully, right?
Exactly.
That's it is, right?
We passed on a rising star of Taylor Price. You and I, Eldridge, we're like this.
But listen, I'm not happy with the Taylor Price situation.
No,
but
not
they
either.
They didn't get rid of Taylor Price to sign Doran Dickerson.
No, they got rid of him to sign a fourth-string center.
That they needed in the game.
Ryan Wendell looked fine to me when he was running off PATs.
No.
I didn't see a limp at all.
No.
I didn't see any hints of
no?
a calf injury. I don't know.
You're
I don't know that they needed him.
You're not taking their word for it?
I don't know
yet?
That they needed him. Ryan Wendell was running fine to me when he was running off on and off the field for PATs.
So why would they bring in a guy that...
Because they weren't comfortable with Wendell's ability as a starting center,
possibly.
So they
needed him.
Maybe.
That's what I think. But
so cut Wendell.
That's what I'm saying. Cut Wendell. Don't cut Price. Cut Wendell.
You got all these Jag offensive linemen, Donald Thomas and Ryan Wendell and Nick McDonald.
You need them, as you see. You need
them.
Why?
Because
they're getting hurt.
I agree with that, too.
Nobody's getting hurt.
You know.
Just the center.
Him.
I'm with you, Eldridge. I got an important question for you, Eldridge.
Shoot away.
Do you ever, you're a truck driver, right?
Yes.
Do you ever drive to Louisiana?
I drive there all the time. I go from North Carolina to Louisiana. I stop in New Orleans.
Do you know?
Baton Rouge.
Do you know where the Peterbilt factory is? And there's apparently an 18-wheeler car wash near there.
Peterbilt. No, I always wash the truck down either at J.B. Hunt Terminal or at the terminal. Those are where I wash my truck at.
Okay, well, I'm just letting you. If I don't know the specifics of it, but Kevin Falk owns a 18-wheeler car wash near the Peterbilt factory or something. And so, if you ever drive through there, you're going through. Kevin Falk's car wash.
Okay, I'll try to do that.
Keep an eye out for it.
Okay, one other question. I was listening to y'all about the defensive coordinator. I think that secondary coach, he sucks.
Wow.
Which one?
Honestly.
Wait, which one?
There's two of them.
Both of them.
Well, Matt Patricia does not suck as a
coach.
He does not suck.
I don't know about
Boyer. We had Don Capers, and like I said, I know you explained a while back, but we should have kept him. See what he's doing for Green Bay? Made a quarterback.
31st ranked defense in the league.
That's another defensive backs coach. I forgot. That's
five.
Yeah, but that's different.
He had a good coach.
Well, he is a legitimate defensive coordinator. And then the Patriots, I don't know what they were doing. They did him a favor. This was like a stop for him.
Or he did them a favor.
Yeah, on his way to his next job. I don't think they ever intended for him to stay long term. If he did stay, you would have to give him the defensive coordinator title and salary, and I don't think that they felt they needed to do that because Bill Belichick is the defensive coordinator. He's the architect.
Yeah, but he's the head coach. He got too much on his plate.
No, I understand. I understand.
But what
I'm saying is Dom Capers would want and deserves high-priced defensive coordinator salary. On this team, he wouldn't be needing to do all those things. Because the system's already in place, he wouldn't have to be installing that. So you're kind of paying him for stuff that he doesn't really need to do.
It's not a surprise. He's in a place where the head coach is the offensive coordinator.
He could critique that defense.
He's the guy.
What the secondary coach doing? You know what I mean? And he had the right players in the right position, better than that.
And you see that a lot, like in New Orleans, where Sean Payton is
an ex-head coach,
Greg
coordinator, runs the show.
Right.
It's his D.
Right. It's Greg Williams.
Right.
D. Yes.
The only place where it doesn't work like that is here. Where the head coach defensive guy is also the offensive guy.
I would wonder what kind of salary some of those guys make.
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah,
it's got
commas
in it.
Offensive coordinator. But I think when Josh McDaniels got released from Denver, we should have snapped him up quick as I don't know what, because I think he's more. How can I say it? He's more inventive than what O'Brien is.
See, Eldridge,
I agree to that.
I agree with myself.
The other Eldridge agrees with it. Thanks for the call, Eldridge.
He's a good caller.
This is a great show today.
On caller, he deserves none because he's a good caller.
He's awesome.
The problem with, I just have always a problem with the offensive coordinator criticism because, you know, it really is about execution. Unless it's blatant, what are you calling that play in this situation for? You know,
along those lines, we had an Ask PFW.
They're good if they work, and they're bad if they don't work.
How come this team doesn't use the running back screen as much anymore?
I don't know.
That's pretty much what I answered. Paul, you got anything?
No, I don't. But they do They do a lot of screens.
We've had 35 years of covering this team, and we said, I don't know.
They don't do a lot of running back screens anymore. They do a lot of screens.
No, to receivers and tight ends.
But they don't do a lot of running backs.
And yet they have three guys, theoretically, of five running backs who would be very good at it in Woodhead, Vereen, and Falk.
Right.
I even think Ridley would be
good at it. I think Benny's the only guy you don't want to run screens with. Why do they not do it? They have all athletic offensive linemen. We're just talking about you got two tackles when Solder's out there who are very proven athletic.
The saving Mankins, it for the playoffs.
I didn't have an answer for the guy, and I felt bad about it, but because theoretically it should work, right?
All right, let's take one more call, then we'll go to a break, then we'll dive into all the emails that are coming in at webradiopatriots.com. Tim in Pensacola, Florida is on the line. Hey, Tim.
Fred Mufasa, how's it going?
Tim, what's up, amigo?
Tim Damassa.
Yes, now I want to say I need to, every time after a loss, I get a little angry. I consider the Colts game a loss. And I must apologize for my rudeness to Fred. I didn't intend to be rude. I listen to the podcast of PFW when I'm at work. So it appears that I hung up on Fred. No, I thought you were ending the call, Fred, when you said thank you.
No, I thought you were doing one of those dramatic I'm out and hang up, which is fine. Which is fine. I thought that was cool.
Oh no. But, I listened to a bit more of the argument, and here's the problem, and it seems like every time after a loss, me and Andy goes at it. Last time it was on politics. This time it's on Rob Gronkowski. Let's go back to it for a second, because I actually have their stats. Here's the thing.
Okay, so you want to compare all pro seasons or Pro Bowl seasons? I'm just asking.
How could you compare Pro Bowl seasons when Rob Gronkowski has been in the league for 2 years?
I don't know. Devin McCourty's been in the league for 2 years, and he's got one Pro Bowl under his belt.
Booyah! He's got a point in. Don't be a jerk.
Here's what you said. Now, there's a couple of points that we agreed on. Okay, now here, and then a point that we disagreed on, which I'm about to get to in a second. That Jason Witten's faster, but Rob Gronkowski's a better blocker. Now, unlike you, that's right, I've done my homework.
Me too.
I watch Dallas games, okay, because I hate the Cowboys because I was born in Texas. Now, here's the thing. Jason Witten can block, but at times, against elite pass rushers, I've seen Jason Witten thrown aside like a rag doll. Not to say that Rob Gronkowski wouldn't get beat in some of those situations.
He already has.
I doubt he'd get thrown around. Now, here, so he's used primarily as a receiver.
Why do you think that is?
Huh?
Why do you think that is?
Because he's good at it.
Right. Do you think Rob Gronkowski's blocking will go down at any point during his career? Do you think as he gets a little older that he may become more of a pass catcher because they don't want him physically pounded in the running game quite as much? Maybe they'll draft a younger guy for that role because that role is not as valuable as a guy who can do what he can do in the red zone and on the offense. Do you think that might happen?
Yes.
Thank you.
But I'm not talking, and here you said I also give it to Jason Witten for his longevity. I'm not talking about career-wise. I'm talking about right now.
So, like was it last week, Paul, or 2 weeks ago that Jason Witten split the defense and went about 60?
Two weeks ago.
Oh, so that's right now. I'm just wondering.
Let me get to the numbers, my friend.
Okay, numbers. Numbers. It's always
now,
about the
let's
numbers.
See here. In 2 years, scoring defense. Which is all we have to compare, Rob Gronkowski had 10 touchdowns last year. 13 touchdowns so far this year. Let me ask you 14. This, Andy. What is Jason Witten's highest number of touchdowns he's ever gotten in his career?
I'll tell you, it's the season he plays with Tom Brady on an elite offense and not with a Jag quarterback.
You that always says we don't do what if. Stick to the facts. What?
But those aren't facts. It's
number?
Not. It's apples to oranges, my friend.
What is his maximum number?
I have no idea. What is it, 9?
Bingo, which...
Oh, wow, I actually knew the answer? I thought I didn't do my homework.
You guessed. You
I knew the answer because I've written about Jason Witten.
Guess how many times he's
Bring it, Tim.
It.
How many times?
He's done it once.
Okay, now was that with Quincy Carter as his quarterback or Tony Romo or which other
Watch
Jag?
Watch yourself.
Which other Jag?
Watch yourself.
Which other Jag went through there?
Just
oh, Drew
Bledsoe.
Jason
Witten and Tony. Now, Tony Romo, I will concede, is not nearly the quarterback.
Oh, that's
Tom
big
Brady,
of you. That's big of you.
But they have chemistry through the years, and there's no substitute for chemistry.
Right. So he wouldn't have chemistry with Tom Brady, right? Because the only person who's never gotten chemistry with Tom Brady is Taylor Price.
That's not his point. That's not
what is his point? I'm failing to see his point.
His point is that Romo is quite adequate.
Wait,
in order
does history matter or not matter? Wait. Time out. But does history matter or not matter? Because when I brought up history that he's an all-pro and a Pro Bowler, history didn't matter. But his touchdown 7 years ago matters.
And you said,
so which matters? I don't know.
And you said,
but I was also told it didn't matter that he went 62 yards a week ago.
And you also said right now you would take Rob Gronkowski.
When did I say that? I think he is up there. And if I'm taking in count longevity, I would take, if you saw the paper, you'd use it.
I'm counting wanting the here and now. Now, maybe Jason Whitney will have a better career. In a career argument, you win because Rob's only been in the league 2 years. I'm talking about here and now. Do you want me to compare their stats from this year?
No, I don't.
Can we just stop this
stats are irrelevant to me until they actually both have the same offense and the same quarterback.
Eliminate
one's going to have that. Well, then you might as well not compare any.
Well, because I can watch the games and make an honest assessment. But you clearly can't.
But you don't need stats to compare players. You don't compare stats for every player. You use your eyeballs. Use your analysis.
Let's watch the game. Let's face it, Tim. You know, and you're my bro, so, you know, but.
I love guys with passion.
In 2007, Randy Moss had 23 touchdowns, broke the record, did it with Tom Brady. Probably wouldn't do it with any other quarterback. But in that year, right then and there, I would probably still say that Calvin Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald was a better wide receiver. You know, so you do have to take into consideration the circumstances that the player is playing in.
Yes, but here's the thing that also, and you're my bro too, Fred, okay?
Oh, my God,
this
is gay.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but because I think you're very correct on your point. You can see the wider arguments when obviously Andy cannot.
I just see the truth. You guys look at it through Patriots color glasses.
Your only argument is that he has more touchdowns. That's your only argument.
No.
How wide is that argument?
The thing, they have a long-standing chemistry with them.
Tony Romo stinks. Who cares if he has chemistry with them? They're so afraid of letting him throw the ball that they kicked a 49-yard field goal instead of calling timeout. That's great chemistry. Who cares about chemistry?
The guy is incompetent.
One
thing I will say, Tim, about Romo is that when it gets into the red zone, he falls off the cliff.
And that's where Gronkowski
gets a lot of his touchdowns.
Well, let's just compare the two guys.
Is Jimmy Graham not a better receiver than Rob Gronkowski?
Jimmy Graham is a better receiver.
Same with Witten.
Look,
same thing. I don't care about the stats.
I'm talking all around, my friend. All around.
Well, I'm telling you the gap between the blocking of Gronkowski and Witten is closer than it is between the receiving ability of Witten and Gronkowski.
You know, why don't you look up some videos of Jason Witten getting thrown around like a 6-year-old?
Do you want me to show you some of Gronkowski getting killed 2 weeks ago?
There's plenty of those, and it's only...
No, I've seen Gronkowski.
And he's the best blocking tight end they have.
Around a side, literally, like a 6-year-old ragdoll. I saw a defensive end pick up Witten and throw him out the way.
I saw that, too.
Wasn't it good, Fred?
It was. All right, Tim.
Fred doesn't even know who Jason Witten is.
We got to take a break. We got a lot of emails. Thanks for bringing the passion on a Wednesday.
Okay, Fred, let me just say this one thing. You are awesome.
Get off your knees. You're blowing the host.
You're blowing the tight end.
Get off your knees.
All right,
Slurper.
Hey, this is a good one. Listen to this. Ravens insider, John Harbaugh on if his game, because that's the other game that's in play. If the game gets flexed, quote, I've been instructed to say I don't care.
The Paul Perillo of good soldiers there. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to get right into the emails.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy £3 and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' Coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y,
right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Fred, Andy, and Paul with you until 2 o'clock. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's jump right into the email, shall we? Dan the Buy Man writes in. Says, I agree with Olivier from Virginia yesterday, not because we both live in the same state, but because you guys should really be around Redskins Nation to witness what it really means to suck. Think about their fans, how much pain they have to deal with every season, and be prepared when both Brady and Belichick are done, because that's what we will go through.
I don't think
older fans still remember well. I also agree with you guys that we need to set the highest expectation than anyone, because we have the best in the business, Brady and Belichick.
We also have one of the best in the business in Kraft. I think part of that is Daniel Snyder. So I do not think we will go into Redskins land.
It depends.
I don't trust Daniel Snyder if I'm a Redskins fan. I trust Robert Kraft to try to do the best, and give this team a chance to win. I think Snyder is a meddlesome, annoying. What was that whole story with him? I like my offense like I like my ice cream. Or was that a different owner?
I have no recollection to what you're
flavor
talking
of the
about.
Day.
He sent it to a head coach and put like a
was
multi
this like
flavors.
A skit from Airplane?
I like my offense like I like my ice cream, diverse or something, or multi flavored. Maybe he sent the kind with the three flavors in it, I think.
Yeah. Harlequin?
I just can't see Robert doing that, meddling and saying, I like my offense. Leaving a gallon of ice cream on a coach's desk.
When Belichick leaves.
That may have been a different owner.
He's going to, you know.
Listen, there's going to be a drop off. We talk about this with Brady all the time. You're not going to get a quarterback as good as Brady to replace Brady. The overwhelming odds are against that. Same with Belichick. You're not going to get a coach that's as good as Belichick.
But what you're going to do.
It doesn't mean that you're going to drop off the cliff.
And you already have an owner who's better than Snyder.
Eli. 6 years before Belichick got here, Kraft was the owner.
Yeah.
Correct?
Right.
The first year, they went 10-6, made the playoffs.
I mean, is Eli Manning as good as Brady? No. Is Tom Coughlin as good as Belichick? No. They won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Caldwell won a Super Bowl. Look, they won't pay as much for the next quarterback, but maybe they'll pay more for other guys.
I don't want to let the tricky facts get in the way, but Jim Caldwell, no Super Bowl.
Oh, no. Well, Tony Dungy, I mean.
Tony Dungy's a good coach. Well, Caldwell
went to one. You know, he went to one. He could have won one. But what I'm saying is, you know.
And Wes Welker could have 100 catches,
but
he doesn't.
So you have a quarterback that's a lower tier than Brady, who you're paying, you know, what he should be getting. And then you spend that money elsewhere. Maybe then you have like a DeMarcus Ware type of player. You know, so you can make up for the difference with other players.
You don't always have to have
the best quarterback of your generation to win.
You need to get good people, and I have confidence and faith, as Andy pointed out, in Robert Kraft, that he will find. He maybe won't find another Hall of Fame guy like Belichick and a Hall of Fame quarterback like Brady, but I'm pretty sure he'll find competent people.
Right. Right.
And I don't think they'll go 4-12 on a consistent basis. For 6 years before Belichick got here, they had one losing season.
Right.
And that was when Bledsoe broke his shoulder in 95. Otherwise, that
team. And they won with that quarterback.
And that team wouldn't have had a losing season either had he not gotten injured. So.
Had Kevin Turner.
Playoffs in 94, playoffs in 96, playoffs in 97, playoffs in 98.
Yep.
All without Belichick and Brady.
And as bad as Pete Carroll. The worst record Pete Carroll had was 8-8. You know, so and Kraft recognized where it was going and made the switch before it got too bad.
He's a good owner.
That's right.
And I think that he'll find a guy that will be able to succeed. Now, will he be Belichick and Brady? No.
No, that's why as fans we have to really appreciate what's going on here. And I get crazy with all the criticism.
You know, I say it all the time on PFW in Progress. I'm glad Andy brought it up. It was a very astute point by you. But I don't think we give the ownership enough credit in this town. And I really think it's time that we step forward.
I agree.
Okay. What? What's that?
That's good, Paul. Remember that. let's see. Anthony writes in, we do such amazing things with everyone else's garbage players, plugging in rookie free agents and first-time starters, but we never seem to go for that fantastic player.
Yes.
The best player on our team, Brady, was a sixth-round pick and was only elevated himself due to his preparation and play after that point. Had we gone the Tim Rattay path in 2000, Belichick would have been unemployed after his D fell apart a few years ago. I'm certain... he would not get the leash he gets from Robert Kraft, even if they had still won the Super Bowl on the backs of their D in 2001. If they had Rattay and other assorted QB Jags, and then the D fell apart like it has in recent years. I'm on board with Belichick's philosophy of low-cost role players and bottom-of-the-roster guys, but I cut ties with him based on his execution of that philosophy. I don't care what the reasons are. You should not have a team wherein undrafted players fill out the roster while high draft picks get cut left and right. Not quite to Al and George's boat, but still frustrated. Right, 14-2.
Three losses already, so I don't think they went 14-2.
But look, I mean, but he still wins.
Right, but could he win better?
Maybe, but there's a trade-off, you know.
But maybe they could win it all if they had talent. You know, maybe they could go 14-2 and win in the playoffs
if
he had some talent.
You take the good, you take the bad.
I think that's the point. I mean, does everybody exaggerate their point, you know, their side of these? Yeah, we all do. But, you know, regular season wins
Brian the Fox.
That's not the only goal.
I love it, though. I think it's fun. I tweeted it when they cut Price. I said, Sanders is cut. He didn't draft Quinn, and now he cut my guy Price. If he didn't win 12 to 14 games a year, I'd really start to question his judgment.
Brian the Fox in New Mexico, I want to hear your thoughts about what I find to be an intriguing matchup this Sunday. Two unheralded gem units of this year's Patriots are the kick and punt coverage squads. There's sausage on that pizza.
So you can't digest sausage.
They have done an outstanding job against some great returners like Joe McKnight and DeSean Jackson. However, I think that Brandon Banks may be the best they face all season and certainly the most aggressive. Two of the best Patriots from the coverage units are being pulled into heavy duty elsewhere, Edelman handling return duties himself, in addition to defense, and Matthew Slater, a sudden starter on defense. Woodhead has been playing well but Ridley's lackluster performance and a likely shootout says to me that Woodhead is going to be needed for full duty on offense Sunday. Are the Patriots too thin heading into a tough special teams matchup? And also, how is Kevin Falk's health stay Subway fresh?
Falk's health is good, I think. He seems chipper.
What do you think about depth on special teams at this point?
I think it's a topic worth delving into. Paul and I in the pregame social have talked about it two or three weeks in a row, that the more you have these guys playing on regular defense, guys who should be your core special teamers and in many cases are, I think they do get winded. I think it does affect their play a little bit in the kicking game, because there's a big difference between running down, covering a kick, going off the field, taking a five-minute breather and doing it again, and running down, covering a kick, and then staying in on defense if you're Matthew Slater and playing. I mean, he was clearly winded the other day and worn out from all the hitting. So I think it's something to keep an eye on. I'm not overly concerned about it. Woodhead's a guy, I'm not sure he's very good on special teams. He seems to whiff a lot.
No, he gets, those first guys, you see them miss a lot, but
he was the second
guy. As long as you direct them into where you know your coverage is.
How many times deep do you go with that? That the first three guys are allowed to miss, the first four?
No.
Because Slater's the first guy down there. Slater misses a lot. I think that's accurate. It's very hard to make that tackle. You make him make a move.
Right.
But Woodhead is often the second guy, and he seems to miss. So are the first five guys allowed to miss, and then the sixth makes the tackle? I just want to know what your rules
are. I'll leave Woody alone. KB in Atlanta writes in, so the Patriots are currently first in the AFC. Can you explain how we might not get first seed even if we win out the rest of the season? Well, it has to do with
two and three
other
team
things
tiebreakers
besides the record. You know, they're,
if Baltimore loses a game and Pittsburgh wins, Pittsburgh wins out, Patriots win out, and Baltimore loses a game, Pittsburgh has the tiebreaker over the Patriots.
You see, it's complicated.
Because it's two instead of three.
See, right now in a tiebreaker with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, Baltimore wins.
Right.
That
right.
knocks Pittsburgh down
to a
wild card.
And then
because ties are broken within divisions before they
right.
are.
Right. But if Baltimore loses a game and Pittsburgh wins out, Patriots would have the same record, assuming they win out too. But since Pittsburgh beat the Patriots, they would have the higher seed than the Patriots.
And Houston's not in the mix?
I don't know that whole situation.
They have the same record.
I don't know how that changes based on wins and whatnot.
Yeah.
I know that one of Houston's losses is an NFC loss, just like one of the Patriots' losses is an NFC loss.
In other words,
Patriots lost to the Giants, Houston lost to New Orleans.
In other words, the tiebreakers can change based on what happens from here on in. Right now, the tiebreaker is in the Patriots' favor, but those tiebreakers change depending on wins and losses. So it really is up in the air right now.
But these games are very, very important for the Patriots, because there is a chance that these other teams do win out, just like there's a good chance the Patriots win out. Now, I don't think they all will. I don't think all four of those teams will win out.
Not this year.
No.
So
the only year that matters.
Pittsburgh has a tough game to play, I think, at San Francisco. That will not be an easy game. I think it's next Monday night.
Dun, 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 dun.
I said there would be some listener-on-listener crime today.
And there is.
Phil from Nova Scotia. Jeff in Vegas, he says, this is a direct appeal to you. Please stop calling in with your annoying self-promotion and your plugs for various Vegas hotspots. Enough already. I'm okay with being annoyed. Just annoy me with some Patriots or PFW-related topics. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but years ago, when they actually used to run out of emails to read and only had one or two callers, they were much quicker to blow up emails and calls if they were bad. But now that they've grown old and soft, they have much more patience for poor quality. you know, kind of like Bill and his coaching staff. Oh, that's a cheap shot. Please do not take advantage of their kindness. I have called in a few times in the past, but don't anymore because my calls are horrible.
Well done.
I censored myself for quality control. Thanks, Jeff, in advance for doing the same. Please keep calling in. Just be a better team player, he says. So, and then Colin writes in on listener crime. I've got a word of the day that I'd like to dedicate to Jeff in Vegas straight from the Urban Dictionary, douchebag. An individual has an overinflated sense of self-worth compounded by a low level of intelligence, behaving ridiculously in front of colleagues with no sense of how moronic he appears.
Is that me?
You could go into that, too. I was all for cutting Jeff some slack until last show. Enough already. The whole gambler's perspective was interesting for a bit, but the endless I'm swimming in money and I'm right again stuff, even when he's not, is driving everyone crazy. I've never heard anyone who loves the sound of his own voice more than this guy, except maybe Paul and Andy, too.
No, you added that.
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
But at least you guys have something interesting to say about football and, of course, some other things like the Nut Wizard, Star Wars, Brooklyn Decker, etc. I don't think we need to ban Jeff in Vegas, but you guys have to give him the hook a lot sooner when he calls. Otherwise, great stuff. Keep up the show. Love it. Tebow sucks and the Jets blow. Oh, I can't say that.
What?
Well, he's saying what they blow, and I can't say that.
Donkeys?
Sheep?
No.
Goats?
I said I couldn't say that.
Cock and take.
So why are you saying it?
Because I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. I want to know what the answer is. Is it an animal? Mineral?
Yes, it is.
Goat? Is it a goat?
Yes, it is.
It's a goat. Okay.
No, it's...
Donkey?
Sheep.
Let's see.
Does it have fur?
That doesn't matter.
It does. I'm intrigued.
James
Bears.
Writes in, hey, guys, I'm not sure what happened with the Colts game, but let's take the positives from it.
Blue whales.
It was a great LeBron James-style performance, only three quarters. I've just finished my semester at university, and I'm enjoying a nice holiday with the girlfriend. I've heard Foxborough is a bit cold at the moment, so I've attached a photo of the view from my balcony. Thank you very much. I realize emailing on holiday is a bit sad, but what can I say? I have an addiction to PFW. Now on to the Patriots. While I'm still fairly concerned about the defense, I think they will have a hard time stopping the passing game at Green Bay, New Orleans, and even Pittsburgh. I still believe the pass rush could cause enough issues to slow them down to the point the offense can match for points. Quick over-under. Ready? Ryan Mallett snaps, 9.5.
This week?
Final four games.
Under.
Under.
Final four games.
Under.
Under.
Okay. Vereen Ridley touchdown.
Mazzaro's over 9.5, and I can't figure it out.
You know he's inactive.
Ryan Mallett will not even be active.
They might put him in at the end of the last
game. He won't
game.
Be active.
Okay.
And
unless
even if
they
he's active,
get like 10 more injuries between now and the end of the year.
Hoyer's going to play.
Right. Vereen Ridley touchdowns, 2.5.
Over.
Over. Touchdowns, 2.5.
I say under.
Probably
I'm going to say under as well.
Danny Woodhead touchdowns, 2.5.
Under.
Devin McCourty interception.
How come you didn't answer that one, Fred?
Devin,
you didn't answer that one.
Over. Devin McCourty interceptions, 0.5.
Under.
I'm going to say over. He gets one.
One-armed.
Oh, I can't lift this one.
Gronkowski receiving touchdowns, 4.5.
Under.
Under.
Okay.
He only needs one to break
that's right. Bad. Like, I mean, you know he just comes out and gets like three on Sunday, and then you're like, oh, boy, he's already there.
Let's hop over to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Bill is in Lindsay, Ontario.
Lucky him.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Is Lindsay hot?
Oh, no, it's cold. Cold. We've got 2 inches of snow.
Oh, okay.
Just 2 inches, huh?
Frigid.
Headlights are out.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm calling. I was listening to the arguments about Witten and Gronkowski. We'd be lucky in 10 years to say that, you know, Gronkowski's put up the numbers that Witten has.
Preach it, bruh.
And, you know, we've been talking about tight ends, and no one's mentioned Jimmy Graham. That kid's a stud.
Whoa, you clearly don't listen to me.
Yeah, we love Jimmy Graham.
I wanted the Patriots to draft him. Can you imagine if we had Gronk and Graham, the two guys I wanted? Can you imagine that?
And I love Gronkowski, too. I mean, I don't want any of those other guys instead of Gronkowski. I think that all around, Gronkowski is tremendous.
Because you include age. If you're talking about the guy you want,
but
age
even
is
if
part
the other guys were similar, I mean, like Graham is the same age, but
no. But I'm saying I would take Graham over Hernandez because that's a position.
Yeah.
And Gronkowski and Witten would play the same position. I'd take Gronk because he's younger.
I just don't, just because I like Gronkowski and I like everything that he does, all his versatility, doesn't mean I ignore the fact that other tight ends do great things too.
Right.
And I agree, Witten has had a tremendous career.
And you know what somebody brought up about Graham, and I didn't see this until somebody said it, is he really does look like Blake Griffith. Griffin. Is it Griffin or Griffith?
Griffin.
They have that same head and hair and stuff, kind of, and obviously have a similar ability to dunk things.
Hey, didn't he knock the goalpost offline a couple weeks ago?
Yes, and then they never fixed him. I don't know if you saw later, they kicked a field goal, and they did like a close-up, and it was a little off.
I just love the way they just eyeball it when they do.
A guy gets on a rope on one side of the rope.
He's supposed to have a level.
Yeah, they don't always. For a high-tech billion-dollar scientific industry, the NFL does some things at a very archaic level.
508-290-0398. John in L.A. is calling in. Hey, John.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for the card.
Oh, good. Yeah. Awesome.
I didn't get one.
It was addressed to Fred and everybody.
I'm going to bring it down and hang it up here in the.
He didn't share it.
No, it's sitting on my desk.
Did you give him money too?
Right. Were there gifts involved? I never saw those either.
I meant to bring it down. I'm going to hang it up right under Mary McCormick.
Well, I know you guys are disappointed not to get your own personal birth announcements.
Congratulations.
That's great. Yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, what do we got here?
We got a little boy who's 4 months old now.
Oh.
He's a Patriots fan. You know,
did we know this already? Because I sort of did.
Yep.
What's his name?
Theo.
Theo Huxtable.
Exactly.
Epstein.
Yeah.
Is he your son from another mother?
Kind of. He's adopted, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm calling about Gerard Mayo being, even in what some are describing his best game ever, wildly disappointing. I mean, it was a great pick. That's great. But I don't want to give him the money. And I like the guy, and I know they're going to give him the money.
Yep, they are. So get used to it. Don't bother fighting it or spending any time debating it.
Yeah, but knowing him, he will give you the hometown discount.
Is he going to give you the I stink discount?
He's going to get the going rate for a good inside linebacker. So he's going to get.
Well, that's what he is.
And he's a Jag.
He's a good.
He's a Jag. See, good inside linebacker.
Look. I'll listen to you if you say, oh, he's not a number 10 pick inside linebacker. But to say he's a Jag is just that's
in
ignorant.
That group. No. In that group, and it's.
But
Fred,
that's not
Paul,
we're talking about.
I'm consistent, aren't I? Mm-hmm. Santonio Holmes is a good receiver, but he's a Jag good receiver.
But that's not what we're talking about. Don't tell me he's a Jag, okay? That's where Belichick will stop fielding your questions in the press conferences.
I'm consistent.
Because you've lost among all credibility.
Among good players, he's a Jag. That's where I differentiate.
No, that's not even right. That's not even correct.
See, I
among
think
Among good
is.
Players, he's a good player.
No, he isn't.
Well, among great players, he's not a great player.
Okay, well, so there's five guys that are great,
okay,
and then he's in that next tier.
But he's not going to get great
tier.
Money.
Yes, he is.
What do you think is great money?
What's
just out of curiosity.
What's he going to get?
I don't know.
Is $9 million
a year
great money?
I don't know what the market
is. He's going to get $9
million
a year,
$7 million a year?
Who's getting $9 million? Is Patrick Willis getting $9
million? Bart Scott, David Harris, John Beeson, D'Amico Ryans. They're all in the $7.5 to $9.5 million range.
I would give him that.
And he's going to get that.
I would give him that.
Because if you don't, he'll get it somewhere else.
I wouldn't
He's going to get that. I don't think he's as good as any of those players.
Well, I think
maybe D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, he's as good as D'Amico Ryans.
You know what he is, actually? I keep thinking about this. He is the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis of the defense. He's solid and unspectacular. And you know, that says something good about law firm, too. I
mean, yeah, it says something good about your undrafted running back and your 10th overall
pick. One's a 10th overall pick, one's an undrafted free agent.
That's a good comparison right there. That is a good, solid comparison. Well
done,
John.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other ones.
Just stop there. That's a good one. You don't need to keep going. That's a good one.
All right. In other news, I don't think we should ever take a kick out of the end zone, ever. Because the most we ever get is like 3 to the 23, and who cares?
Well, the best part is when they make like 3 good moves to get to the 23.
Like Edelman broke them all 4 tackles to get to the 20 this week.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. There's only bad things can happen because the high end is they get to the 21. Well, you're going to get the 20, and there's no chance of a fumble, so just take it. They stink. You're right.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
Thanks,
John. All right, John. Thanks for the call.
Tell Theo we said hi.
There's a lot of... there's an anti-Mayo movement afoot.
I feel like we started it.
No, you started it. Yeah. Let's not make any bones about it.
If you had drafted this guy in the second round, would you be so up in arms?
But I would no. But I wouldn't be thinking about giving him $9 million a year, I'll tell you
right.
that. And that's what he's going to get.
No, I think if you drafted him in the second round, you'd be like, wow, this guy's solid. Give him the money. We want him for long term.
I wouldn't.
I think so. I think.
What do you see?
What does he do?
Would you give Spikes $9 million a year?
Not now. Maybe someday, but he hasn't proven it yet. I think Mayo's as solid as they come.
What does
he
do?
Spectacular.
What does he do?
What do he do?
Solidifies that defense. He's also good in.
How do it? No.
So you don't have an answer. You want to give him $9 million, but you don't have a reason why.
And there was no discernible difference with him in the lineup or without the lineup. Right.
And for two straight weeks.
That's the part I don't get.
He's had the same number of tackles as a wide receiver.
Well, yeah, but.
I'm just saying.
And one of those games was
and
perhaps.
And what was that number? Nine?
Three. Seven.
Well, perhaps the best game he ever played was one of those weeks.
When his other linebackers were mocking him for finally getting an interception 4 years
ago. Rob Ninkovich was mocking him.
Let's
means he also has a little Vrabel in him there, too.
Absolutely.
A little ball busting.
Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Hey, good. Harriet.
Yeah, she's calling out right now. But, well, it looks like the price is wrong, apparently.
Bitch, yeah. Harriet's a bitch, right?
Come on.
Yes. Yeah, that's usually what girl dogs are referred to.
That's the proper term, actually. That's how you're supposed to say it, Paul, so don't look at me that way.
I know what
the price is wrong, bitch.
Bitch is in heat.
But I want to throw my two cents into this Jason Witten situation we got going here. This situation would obviously probably never happen, but since somebody called in yesterday saying all we need to do is sign Deshaun and Vincent Jackson and get a marquee pass rusher, I feel okay.
And a safety.
Don't leave out the safety.
And a safety. If Jason Witten shoots his way out of Dallas, I would throw some money at him right away. I mean, if you think about it, if he is on this offense, as constituted right now, doesn't that basically give you the ability to do whatever you want out of your big set?
I would not if that had to be done instead of beefing up the defense. If I have to choose, I'm looking defense. You know, but if I can do both, okay.
Plus,
but
there's a little overlapping
there.
I don't
think they need to do that. They need an outside receiver guy.
Well, I know what you mean, but it seems like Belichick, I mean, is really reluctant to go that way.
Why?
Except for this guy, Ocho Cinco, who I don't understand why he's still on the team.
It was a mistake. Swing and a miss. What can you say?
I don't know, but defense is definitely a bigger issue. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, if you have Witt and Gronk and Hernandez, you can put on your big set, you can walk Hernandez basically to either side of the gridiron, and then they have to walk their best cover guy onto him, and you've got two big tight ends that basically need double coverage at all times, so you can basically run or pass whenever you want out of that set.
You would certainly be afforded a lot of flexibility there. Versatility, it would be a challenge. It would cause defenses to decide how they're going to label those guys, because defenses label people.
Right.
And, you know, is this a three tight end set? Right. Is this a one tight end set and two receivers? What am I looking at here? What are my rules in terms of coverage and everything? It would certainly put a lot of stress on the defense. I think offensively, in some ways, it would give you limitless options, but in other ways, it would limit you a little because you're still lacking that outside threat, the speed, the down the field. But it would sure be fun to watch if you didn't have to pay a ton to get it. If he just became available, sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because on defense, you can't just walk your bigs onto that because you're going to get torched.
Right, right. Yeah, Brady would have a field day audibling, splitting guys out. You know, all of a sudden Gronk is in tight, but then he's split out. Witten is out wide. He comes in. You could have a lot of fun with that. A lot of creative fun.
Now, would it be unbeatable? I would say history would tell us no, because in the past 3 years, whenever the Patriots have changed their offense, it gets figured out at the end of the year.
That's a very negative spin.
That's a tough
but
time.
But it actually segues me to my next point.
Tough week for Patriots fans.
Definitely. But with that Colts game, really the only thing good I can take away from that game is it should mentally prepare you for what could happen in the playoffs again.
Yeah, the problem with that theory is, I mean, you wouldn't treat it the same, A, and B, you'll be very fortunate if you're in a 31-3 advantage in the playoffs. I'm not sure you're going to...
They're not losing a playoff game with a 31-3
no,
lead.
No, but I'm not sure they're going to get a 31-3 lead in
no,
a playoff
No, that's
game.
A different argument.
Maybe TJ Yates...
Let's put it this way.
TJ?
Yeah, I don't worry about blowing a lead in the playoffs, blowing a big lead in the playoffs. Now, listen, could they be up by 4 points in in the fourth quarter and then the team drives down and scores? Yeah, that could happen.
If that's the situation, I'd be worried.
But they're not going to blow a multiple score lead in the fourth quarter in a playoff game.
I just don't understand why they're still showing like no commitment to going into ball control mode against an undersized defensive line that has basically nailed it in for the season already. I wouldn't trust Mike Freeney against most running backs in the world.
That's a great question. I don't have the answer for it. I will say I did talk to both Waters and Falk about that today, and they don't seem to be unhappy, or at least they didn't air it or voice it or even give you the idea with their look that they're unhappy. Because I asked them, is that some sort of, you know, lack of confidence in, we can't do a 10-minute drive here and just end the game, so we have to do this? And they didn't seem in any way to buy into that, you know, whatever play is called.
Unhappy.
No, I know that, but...
And maybe they are privately, but they're not voicing.
Sometimes you get them, they'll say the right thing, but you can tell they're not meaning it. I didn't get that today. Falk believes they are capable of doing it as a backfield. I kind of used him as the spokesman, even though he would not be involved in it likely. And I said that to him up front. But he thinks they can do it. They just haven't been given the chance to prove it, really.
The question is, I don't doubt that they can do it. The question is the willingness. If you're not willing to go into ball control with a 31-point lead and manage the clock, how can you do it when you're going to be in a tight, maybe it's a 7-point differential against a good team like Baltimore?
Well, this is the time they normally do it. I mean, if you look back, pretty much every year at this time, regardless of
even
the running back.
Even in 07.
Maroney had his best. He had 2 or 300-yard games down the stretch there was his best stretch. Antoine Smith, whoever it may be, they've done it. And right now there's no hint of them doing it, but the switch could be flicked in Washington.
I still think that in the playoff game with a 7-point lead, they don't have any intention to trying to do it that way.
Right. It's probably true.
Not a good thing. Sometimes you have to be willing to do that. But all right, but before I go, I'm going to chime in on the Jerod Mayo situation, because I think you mentioned a lot of those other linebackers, and I think he would be, like, if Jerod's on those teams, he would be the number two guy. I think you would see a situation like in Carolina where, was it John Beeson? He started out in the middle, but then they moved him to the outside. If Jerod Mayo's on that team, I think you're seeing a similar situation where he gets locked in the box so the more athletic guy can go to the outside and make plays.
Mm-hmm. Beeson's definitely a better athlete than him, no question.
And that's not good.
But all that aside, and I agree with you, most of those teams he'd be the number two linebacker.
Thanks for the call, Dan.
My biggest question is, how is a guy who theoretically is around the ball so much, 175 times on tackles, not to mention he doesn't rush the passer for the most part, certainly not last year, so he's dropping into coverage. This team has a lot of crossing routes and things that have given them problems. How is a guy that's around the ball so much not more active in terms of ball plays, whether it be batted passes, interceptions, forced fumbles, and fumble recoveries, right? How is that?
Yeah, but do you see him getting burned a lot?
Do
you blame him?
Yes.
Come on.
The linebackers in coverage have been a problem in this team for years.
He's part of the problem.
What do you mean, come on? That's how the Jets beat you last year.
That wasn't his fault.
It's never his fault. It's always his success.
It wasn't.
Never his fault.
You know it wasn't.
Okay. What am I talking about?
Johnny in L.A.
Just out of curiosity, what am I talking about? What about the game?
Yeah,
is my point. Their linebackers are not strong in coverage. He's one of them.
Yeah.
Did they go over him? The Dustin Keller, Brett Favre first down?
The third down
was
play in
him?
Overtime? I don't know. I think that was more of a safety issue.
Well, there might have been 3 or 4 plays in his career that he
No, but see, but that's,
Brett,
that's
he's around
you...
the ball 300 times a year and never touches it.
You just scoffed at him. That's how you broke it down. Like I was talking about one play to Cotchery. No, that's how Sanchez completed passes, by consistently hitting crossing routes underneath the coverage.
Do you disagree
And that's linebacker play.
Do you disagree with, what's his name? Harriet's friend?
Dan.
Dan's theory that he'd be the second best linebacker on a lot of those teams? You know, 6, 8, 10 teams?
Yeah, I think, the ones with the athletic guys.
Doesn't that tell you something? Yeah.
I don't think he...
Is he not athletic? Because I thought he was athletic. I thought that was the scouting report on him. Ridiculously athletic.
He's not... Oh, I don't know. He's not like the Patrick Willis type. So I'm sorry.
No. Okay, you know? So he's not Willis, and he's not Ray Lewis, and he's not John Beeson, and he's not David Harris or D'Amico Ryans or...
He's Jerod Mayo.
Navarro Bowman. He'd be third on that team.
You could do a lot worse than him, and I understand what your point is, Freddie. You could do worse. He's not a stiff. He's a good, solid player. I think that the criticisms of him are somewhat valid.
And some of his great strengths are certainly leadership, dependability, coach on the field, setting the defense. I don't know if I pay $9 million for those things.
Johnny in L.A., a couple thoughts, one of which is my opinion, and
didn't
one of which is a cold, hard fact. No, that was John in L.A.
This is Johnny.
Oh, is this the guy that goes to the bar and calls our show?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he goes to Sonny McClain's.
Okay,
San Diego.
And met Mr. Kraft's brother.
Right. One, Tebow Mania is great for the Pats because instead of breezing through the cupcake finish, they're now going to have to play a road game against a playoff contender in a venomous environment, possibly before a national audience.
I agree with that.
7
it's
a.m.
Bad,
out
though.
Here,
it's
and the decision
week.
Has yet to be made. We need this test, and you're fooling yourselves if you don't think it'll be just that. Now on to the cold, hard fact.
That'd be a short week.
Two, Jeff and Vegas Suns.
After that?
Oh, yeah. After it, yeah.
You're going to play a Sunday night game and a Saturday game.
Yeah, but that's after. The Denver game is not a short week.
I don't think that's a good thing. He's spinning this as a good thing. I think it's a terrible thing. And don't you have the Dolphins at next week?
I think he's just talking about
could lose to the
just
Dolphins.
The game itself.
I think he's talking about the game is good because
not
rather
because,
than we kind of thought it was going to be six slappies to finish the season.
I think they're a slappy.
It's
because when he
have,
goes three and out
their
three times,
is not a slappy.
It'll be no, I know, but it's not that good either.
Okay, well that's
right.
It's not that good.
No, I think it's good, but not great.
They got ripped apart by a very bad offense last.
And
week.
I think the Patriots' offense is far and away better. And when Tebow goes three and out three times, I think it'll be 17-0.
Well, it'll put a stress on that defense.
It'll be over. Yeah, thanks for playing.
That's how I kind of figured that game.
So I think it's a terrible thing because I think you're still going to blow them out. I don't think it's a test and. I think you get a short week after it, coming off a long flight. I think you
might end up blowing them out, but
I think you could lose to the Dolphins. I think that's a tough
matchup. Oh, absolutely.
That short week.
Now on to the cold hard facts, as Johnny. Jeff in Vegas sucks. It's PFW in progress, not gambling in progress. Tell that D-bag to take a hike on this show and on the pregame social. I don't listen live, so I can fast forward over his garbage spewing.
Why don't you?
But still, that's 7 or 8 minutes taken away from something I otherwise truly enjoy.
Andy.
I want this guy gone, and I want him gone now. And Anthony in Naples, if you're smiling and nodding in agreement right now, please stop, because you're an absolute clown too. But I'll allow you to continue for now. Wow, Johnny throwing it out. Well, here to defend.
This is the best show we've ever
if
had.
If you're nodding, stop!
Here
stop!
To, here to
stop.
Defend himself is Jeff in Vegas. Jeff, what's going on, guy?
Hey guys, what's up? To all the Christians, the Johnny in L.A., the Anthony in Naples is, look guys, make fun of the way I talk, that's fine. Make fun of my endless plugs and self-promotion, that's fine. Just don't question my content or my integrity.
Wow.
So to go 15, to hit 15 out of 21 games documented on the pregame show and the 71% on one team is decent, and if strippers is the arbiter of accuracy, strippers go back and listen to them all and make sure that's accurate. But that's not why I'm calling.
Jeff, let me tell you one thing, my friend. Don't tell us what we can criticize you about. We'll tell you what we criticize you about.
Fantastic point, Paul. The reason I'm calling, though, that wonderful lady from Denver, bless her heart, and Lucas, that guy from France, I'm not the only caller who digresses on
this. No, certainly not. Certainly not.
And to the Vegas, the New England Patriot and Vegas angle, look, this all started when I was a kid. Probably Paul remembers the show. It was a sports huddle with Eddie Endelman.
Oh, sure.
That's a Fred Kirsch.
Eddie, Mark, and Jim, right?
Yep. Yep. Mark Wittgen.
Jimmy McCarthy.
Jimmy McCarthy and Eddie Endelman.
Mark Wittgen.
So listen to
Mark
it Sunday night. One time we called and we put the phone in the toilet and flushed it. Me and my friend.
And
you had a bunch of losers that you hung around
and
with.
Maybe Paul, when he was in Everett, you know, I was a kid in Linfield, and that was sort of the dream for those guys.
That says a lot right there. Linfield, huh? Yeah, it's all coming together now.
Linfield, Mass. Providence College. Spent 6 summers on Martha's Vineyard. Hmm. So, you know.
Not surprised, and, Linfield boy.
Were those 6 summers all while you were going to Providence College?
Senior, junior year, and then a little bit after.
Oh, okay. I live on the Peabody Linfield line. Now you know you have to say that when you live in Peabody, the Peabody Linfield line.
Because, so he spent 4 years post college on Martha's Vineyard. You really are loaded, aren't you?
He's finding himself.
No, I worked in a restaurant. And I went back and forth. I worked for
or owned
a company.
You worked, or your father owned it?
No. I had a good friend. I get along well with these crazy guys.
Did you run numbers for the Island Mob?
Yeah.
The Island Mob.
No, that kid, there was another, he's from Charleston. You know all that stuff. Charleston,
South Carolina, or Charlestown?
Charlestown, Mass.
Okay, all right. Chuck
where they have the.
There you go. There's your gambling now.
Yeah.
yeah, that can be a scary, scary place. But back then with the sports title, the dream sort of was to move to Vegas and live off your wits a little bit. So I think that angle does appeal to some people. It certainly did to me when I was a kid growing up.
Oh, you're living a dream.
So you don't have a job, you just gamble?
No, I'm a recruiter. I recruit telephone salespeople. So that's where the sort of the performance voice stuff comes
from. That's even lower than gambling.
Yeah,
telephone
really.
Salespeople?
You recruit telemarketers?
Not telemarketers so much, like insurance. Fine, I was a stockbroker.
We frown on the term telemarketers.
But even as a stockbroker, I got rejected and slammed so many times. I'm like, Paul, bring on the haters. I love it. I get a kick out of it. I have very thick bark. You know, I've been hung up on so many times.
All right, thanks, Jeff. All right, let's go.
Well done, Fred.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Just kidding, Jeff. You can call back anytime.
That was good timing for you.
Well, I figured. I looked. I was looking for my
out.
My out. Let's get back to the email, shall we? Webradio@patriots.com.
I got to pimp something real quick.
Yeah.
Check out the blog, the latest Wilson Hart Power Index is up, the PFW Power Rankings, and your Patriots dropped one spot to number 5. Interesting to see what the Packers did. I can't tell you. You'll have to go click on it.
I'm losing faith in it, though. The New Orleans Saints are number 12.
Yeah?
That's kind of low.
You can argue with it all you want. We'll see how it plays out.
Well, I'm not really arguing. I'm just finding it a little interesting.
I don't find you interesting at all. Now move on. Read an email.
I think it was funny. Did you catch when we were taping the show yesterday? And I looked at Paul. I said, it's an interesting index. And Paul couldn't let it sit. He had to put the snide comment.
You two started laughing like little schoolgirls. You couldn't even compose yourself. We had to reshoot the end of that segment because you couldn't compose yourself.
I thought that was funny.
I'll just say that undefeated doesn't go as far as it used to.
Just saying.
Peter, Northern Ireland, I'm a little ill at the moment during my first year at university, which, as everyone but Eric knows, is prime drinking, smoking, and boning time, he says. But the podcast is making my stay in bed a little more football-based and a lot more humorous.
Boning.
Thought I would chime in on the whole peeing on the sideline thing. During the last Shamrock Bowl, Ireland Super Bowl, except the players have cigarettes instead of Gatorade at halftime, I was working security and happened to turn and looked on one sideline just as the starting corner on – I'm reading this slow in case I get something really bad – just as the starting corner one on a team had a quick whiz right behind the bench. Fred would have either castrated him on the spot or taken a photo of his junk to spread on the Internet. I had a little giggle and continued watching the game. Have a good one. So
it's not that big a deal. Only Fred thinks it's a
huge deal. It depends on where you do it. I'm all for peeing outdoors. That's not what I'm saying.
That's a good drop in.
It's
I'm all for peeing outdoors. Me too.
Quick update. Ridley, Spikes, Vollmer absent from practice.
Ridley.
Full pads today for the first time since November 10th.
Ridley's lower back hurts from taking hits.
According to Gordie Howe.
Jeez.
Jeff Howe of Nesson.com.
How come you never cite Eric?
Because the first one is Jeff Howe. A little bit later is PFW Eric, missing Patriots practice, Ridley, Spikes, Vollmer. A Blod update coming.
It says
forthcoming.
Blod?
Blod, B-L-O-D.
Dane Fletcher should be back this week based on the fact that he's tweeting again.
Yeah.
He's got a thumb injury. If he's healthy enough to tweet, I told him he's healthy enough to play.
Chung will be back, it looks like.
Yeah, I was stunned he wasn't back last week.
But I'm worried about Spikes.
Why?
Well, he's not even out there. I mean,
he had a knee injury.
I know.
It takes a little bit.
Mayo came back in 2 games.
Not all knee injuries are the same. Kevin Faulk missed a year. Wes Welker missed 8 months.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You say he had a knee injury, but there's a chance that, you know.
There's no chance he's done or he'd be on IR.
Well, okay.
Well, there's a chance he's done.
Of course there is.
There's a
what
small
if they put
chance.
Him on IR like tomorrow?
Right.
That's a possibility, but it's unlikely. He seems pretty giddy on Twitter. He'll be playing.
Pow!
Pow, pow, SMH.
Nick in Maine. My friend will be coming over for the game this weekend. He's a diehard Redskins fan. I told him the game could be close considering the inconsistent play of the Patriots, but he is convinced otherwise. He remembers the 52-7 game. He thinks that now that Trent Williams is out, Andre Carter will have a monster day, wreaking havoc all over Grossman. Do you think that Carter will have a little extra motivation and maybe increase his sack total?
Yes. I thought he had tone today when somebody said, Bilo, I think, asked him a long-winded babbling question about playing his former team. And he said, you know, I was there last year, and aside from a few guys, like, he didn't want to say the wrong thing.
Did it end badly?
I think it did. And I think he does not have any love lost for that team.
He doesn't like 3-4, we know that.
I'm not sure he likes Shanahan.
Okay, so it did end badly.
So I think he will have a big day, helped by the fact that they're without their starting left tackle, and also helped by the fact that the quarterback will be without his top receiver. That tends to hurt a passing game when the left tackle's hurt and the top receiver's
continuing hurt. The theme of the Patriots season is the key performers of the other team go down the week before the Patriots play them.
And Rex Grossman will throw a couple picks, probably to Kyle Arrington.
Probably.
Well, he's the one who catches them all.
I do think that the I'm disagreeing with Andy a little bit, just slightly, in that I think that Washington will move the ball a little bit better than Washington normally does, I think, against this secondary. I think they'll be able to complete some passes. I think Grossman is a capable passer. I think exactly the way Bill described him today is accurate. He has confidence, and sometimes too much so.
He's a gunslinger.
And that gets him in trouble. But he is capable of making passes.
Yeah, he can.
It's not like Tyler Palko here, where you can leave Dwayne Bowe all alone and Palko isn't going to hit him. He will. Now, he's also going to give what Andy said. He's going to give you some opportunities to make plays, probably by Kyle Arrington, as Andy says.
He's got that magnet built into his chest.
So that's why I think the Patriots will win this game. And they're probably, you know, I don't think they'll be in danger of losing it. Let's put it that way. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'll be closer than Andy says.
Blowout City.
Rudy from New Jersey, who was formerly from Methuen, says, I hate the Jets. What are the chances they get to the playoffs?
Slim.
50-50.
Yeah. It really depends.
They have a couple of losses that are going to be very important to them. They lost to Denver. They lost to Oakland. Those are going to be important losses in down the stretch. One of those teams will win the division, but one of them is going to be in wild card contention. Could knock Jets right out.
Yeah.
Sure. Plus, I don't think the Jets are one of those teams that can finish the season with six straight wins, which I
doesn't look like it yet.
I mean, they've won two, but I'm not sure they can win four more in a row.
Toussaint writes in. Just listen.
Why'd you pause and look at me?
No, because I figured you'd have an Eric comment, but you didn't.
Oui, oui.
What Eric comment? Lead me to it a little bit.
No,
more.
He would correct. He would correct the pronunciation.
Oh.
Hasn't figured out yet that Fred pronounces it differently on purpose every time he says it, just so Eric comments on it.
People were commenting and making fun of Eric in the locker room today for his Scrabble word of the day stuff.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Speaking of that, did you hear the story about Alec Baldwin?
On the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wouldn't shut his iPad off. They were getting ready to. Told everybody to shut off all electronic devices, and he refused to because he was playing Words with Friends.
Oh, is that why Schefter tweeted, I rode the plane back from the Super Bowl next to Alec Baldwin. He was very nice that day.
And actually, there's been some, if you read the tech blogs, there's been some articles just recently about they really haven't proven to anyone why you have to shut off your electronic devices.
Oh, yeah. That's been proven on our plane when everybody on the plane has something running and we've never crashed
if
yet.
If that was something that prevented you from being able to operate the plane, charters wouldn't be immune to it,
right?
Because we don't have to shut down,
right?
They don't even ask us to.
So maybe he was
doesn't matter
to that.
No, but that doesn't matter. The rule is the rule.
I know.
No one's proven to me that if I go 56, I'm going to kill somebody instead of 55. But the rule is the rule,
especially post 9/11.
Who the hell is he?
You do what you're told.
He's
on
a low level actor.
He's doing all right these days.
Low level.
He's on everything.
So
exactly, you know, belittle his career record.
What's he done that was great?
Great?
Yes, great. I said great.
I don't know.
What's he done that was great?
30 Rock is pretty good.
Never seen it.
Anyway, Toussaint said, just listen to yesterday's podcast, and that argument about the best tight ends was hilarious.
Not as good as today's.
I was surprised you guys didn't mention the best tight end in the league this year. There is a guy playing down in the bayou who is lighting up the league.
But
Jimmy Graham
is
fifth in the league in receiving yards and fourth in the league in TDs. I like Witten and love Gronk, but this year Graham is the best.
But Graham is just a receiver. He's an athlete. Yeah. He's a basketball player.
Great
we were
show.
Talking about
Keep
real
up the
tight
good
ends.
Work. P.S. Jimmy Graham is on my fantasy team, so I might be showing favorites.
No, you're not. As a receiver, he's phenomenal,
but
he's not a real tight end.
We love Jimmy Graham, but he's not the all-around tight end that Gronk is.
Or Witten.
William writes in, do any of you or one of the listeners have a good feel for where the Patriots are in regard to the current salary cap? Personnel moves so typically inexplicable, I can't help but feel that value/money is somewhere at the root. I don't think so.
What was the question?
Where are they in terms of the salary cap?
I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't been following it. I don't think they have any.
I know at one point
like
they
the,
had a lot of room.
Much
and
like
we were
the
wondering how
game?
Are they going to fill it. Because this year the teams have to, you know, spend, I think, what is it, 95% of the cap?
As a whole.
As a whole?
Not as individual teams don't have to spend that. It's
the
as
league.
A whole.
Oh, it's the league.
It's an aggregate.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
I still don't get the aggregate. Like, what if you're Mike Brown and you just decide, well, I'm
right.
I'm going
70. I'll let the Cowboys take care of it.
I'm going 70%. The rest of you slappies can figure out how to get up to 95.
Exactly.
Did you ever get us the CBA, Fred?
Yeah, I forgot to ask.
Can you do that?
I'll remind me.
I need to read that. Maybe I'll do it this weekend.
Homs in Toronto, one question. I was thinking about this last month when the Patriots were going through a rough stretch of games, and then again when they went on a winning streak. Do you guys feel, as employees of the Patriots, you're less emotionally invested in each game or more? In other words, do you take the losses as hard as you did before you worked for the team, and do you enjoy the wins as much?
No.
Or is it more of a job now, and you don't really feel the same passion as a regular fan would?
Yep.
The reason I ask is that I've noticed that when the Patriots lose, you guys are even keeled about it. Even Fred's not as suicidal as some of the fans on Kirsch Wards.
I've noticed that, actually.
Is that because you guys don't get hit as hard emotionally since it's just a job for you, or is that you're just consummate professionals and pull yourself together?
Yeah, that.
I'd like to say it's that, but it's not.
I'll tell you what it is for me. 2007.
Nothing's ever going to devastate you like that again.
Nothing can ever be as bad as that again.
That's a nice honesty. That's an open honesty right there.
You know?
But for me, it's what he's talked about. It's a job. And it's not necessarily working for the team, because I felt the same way at the Herald when I had opportunities to do stuff. It's not the same. It's how do I get from point A to point B? I want to do my job as effectively as I can. And that's how you spend the day. You spend the game wondering what you're going to write, how you're going to write it, who you're going to talk to. Right. Point A to point B, and you don't enjoy it.
Well, I'll tell you, all those Super Bowl wins, I wouldn't trade them for anything. But when you win the game, it's tougher than when you lose it as far as work goes.
And then when you
go after? When you lose the game, it's over. No one cares about your website. Right. No one's coming. You know, we're all drinking to get drunk and fall asleep. And, you know, but when you win, you got to get that website done. You got to get all the stories up because everybody's coming to your website.
Right.
So you don't get to enjoy it.
It's
like
a lot
that.
Of, the Super Bowl
later
is a
on,
lot of stress.
Do, but it's not that instant, we won.
Right.
It's instant, oh my God, we won.
Right.
You know, we got to do all this stuff. You know, so it is different. It's different. We've never been able to cheer at a game. I haven't cheered at a game since 1994.
And that's part of it, too.
You know?
Because you don't get that release.
Yeah.
You know, when Vinatieri hits the field goal, and Andy, you weren't writing then. You were on the field, so maybe you did get a little bit of a chance to celebrate, but we didn't. You know, Fred and I and Brian at the time, I remember when the Carolina game was over, it's just like immediately it's a rush of,
I got to do
this. It's just starting, you
right,
know?
Right.
I mean, my work has just begun. After a week of, you know, constant wall-to-wall 24 hours a day doing something,
yep.
And you feel like you're just starting. And then how am I going to get this all done?
Right.
You know, I want to enjoy everything.
Right. You're thinking about the party.
Yeah.
You know.
You didn't threaten to kill anybody in Arizona like you did in New Orleans after they lost to the Packers.
No. No, that's true.
I did. I think, no, that's right. I there was somebody I yelled at as we were, wasn't there
Arizona, we just had to make sure we took care of a package.
Right. But didn't I yell at somebody? After the game.
Did we let Eric do it?
In the parking lot we were driving out. Didn't I get mad?
Did you yell at somebody?
I think I got mad at somebody.
In Arizona?
Yeah.
You yelled coming in to Peter Ventrone.
Well, that was a couple days
before. That was Houston, right?
Oh, yeah. That might have been Houston.
That was Houston. When
yeah,
we couldn't
you're
get
right.
in. We were trying yeah, to get into Reliance media day,
Stadium.
And we couldn't figure out how to get in.
All the Super Bowls blend together when you've been to so many.
That's kind of true.
Should we open up the topic of debate that we had up in the Super Box yesterday?
What was that?
About the Packers and... Mm-hmm. The banner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's a good that's
fans.
A
good,
yeah, no, we can open that up. We were up there, and we were looking at the stadium from one of the suites, and, you know, you have the three championship banners, but then in the opposite corner, you've got that 16-0 banner. Now, I know when they put it up, there was a contingent of fans that believed they shouldn't have put that up.
Right.
I think most fans said, yeah, it's an accomplishment. 16-0, no one's ever done it. So my question was, if the Packers do it this year, do you take it down?
No.
That was my question.
No. You did it first.
And so you just
It's an
it
accomplishment.
It's, but it's not unique anymore.
Doesn't matter. Neither are your Super Bowl wins. And they never were.
No.
I think it's an accomplishment. You were the first to do it.
Okay.
Right?
No, that's just a question.
I would keep it up. I don't know that I ever would have put it up.
Right.
I wasn't passionately against it, but I don't think I would have done it. But now that it's up, I don't take it down because another team did it. You were first. You're the first 16-0
right.
team ever.
It'd be interesting.
But, yeah.
Maybe in the last 15 minutes, if people want to email in and give us your thoughts. If the Green Bay Packers go 16-0, should the Patriots take down that banner because it's they're not the only ones anymore? Andy says no because they were the first, and it's still unique in that way. Paul has left because it's his Flomax moment, so he just runs out.
For some reason in my head, I just got the Reagan quote, tear down that banner. You know, the wall. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that whatever.
Mr. Kraft,
tear down that banner.
Let's see. Iggy from Madrid writes in, could you please be so kind to explain to me why Jermaine Cunningham, Ron Brace, and Sean Ellis are on the roster? They hardly play. One of them has a something contract. The other two have more than questionable upside. Then why Bill cuts players left and right in the secondary but keeps those three on the game day roster?
Well, he needs guys in the secondary, and I think part of the secondary has been finding the right guys, like you talked about. You know, bringing in guys that are available, different skills. As far as those guys, you know, every team has some inactives. You know, it's disappointing that a $4 million free agent signing in Ellis doesn't do much, and a second-round pick who a lot of people thought could have a big year this year, could take that next step, is irrelevant. And I told Paul, I saw Cunningham when I was leaving the locker room. He was leaving the locker room, too. And most players are in the locker room, then they go to that little family food area, and then they get on a golf cart and get taken out. He just was walking kind of down the hallway, looked a little down like, I'm not even a part of this anymore, so I'm just going to walk on out to my car and go home. Like, he feels like an outsider right now. He feels like he's totally irrelevant. And it's disappointing, but I don't think they're going to cut him just yet because we've talked about Carter, Ellis, Anderson, all the guys right. at that position are right. potentially one-year guys or short-term guys. You may still need Cunningham.
Right.
I don't have a lot of faith that he's going to develop, but you may need to give them a chance at some point.
Paul, everything all right, Paul?
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Great.
Good flow.
Oh, yeah.
You polished off that other bottle.
Put it back.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, you proved him wrong with that 2 inches at the bottom of the bottle.
He had some and you had some.
I didn't have any of the new bottle. I only had the old bottle. Didn't touch the new bottle.
All right.
We were talking about why do you really have to turn off the electronic devices on planes? Gene in Florida says what they don't tell you is a missile can be honed in on the electronic frequency of the device. I was a weapons designer for the government before retiring to Florida.
How many missiles are there in the
U.S.?
But
couldn't you just hone in on the plane? Because that's all electronics, right?
Yeah, but the more there is, maybe different bands, different...
I guess. Maybe it's a different frequency that the plane is on?
Because the plane is probably on secret frequencies, or but if a guy knows the frequency that all iPads or iTunes or iPods
right.
are on,
yeah.
they could probably use that to hone in. How many missiles... I probably don't want to know the answer to this question. How many missiles are on the ground in the U.S. just waiting to shoot planes down?
I mean,
we're not flying over Afghanistan. And if it's a lot, Gene, and you know, don't tell me because I don't want to know. I mean, do you envision that there's people literally on the ground with these missile launchers in the U.S. just waiting to shoot me?
No.
Okay.
But, you know.
Okay, maybe. We'll see.
Maybe they just make it.
And, I don't know. We'll see.
You know, they make it for everywhere in the world so that, you know.
No. These are FAA regulations.
No, I know.
Not world regulations.
But maybe in, you know, the governing bodies in Europe do the same thing.
Do they? I don't know. This is what we're at the best at, talking about things
we have no idea. Well, that's where our listeners come
in. It's between this and the screen game.
That's true. At least we've, you know, no reason to know about this. We should probably know the answer to the screen thing.
Eric's here with a green crew neck.
Hunter?
V-neck, actually.
V-neck. I'm sorry, V-neck.
It's very high, that V-neck.
Why does it smell like fish in here?
You just walked in. I don't know.
Tastes like chicken.
I've always thought you were kind
of a meow. While Eric gets settled, quickly, Phil writes in, do you think the Patriots' struggles running the ball are because they don't stick with it long enough to be effective,
yes.
or is it down to a lack of production from the backs themselves?
Yes.
And does the lack of production place too much pressure on Brady?
Yes. Three yeses.
What's that mean?
Yes, I don't think they commit to it enough. Yes, I don't think they should commit to it or have trouble committing to it because it's not very productive. And yes, I think that puts Brady in a bad position and makes this team one-dimensional. Yes, yes, yes.
I have a hard time arguing with any of that. I think...
So give Benny a chance. That's what we need to do. Give Benny his 20 carries, see if he can do it.
Okay.
When you did it last year, it worked.
I'm not thrilled with that, but...
Okay, do you want to give Ridley 20 carries?
Maybe
I'm a little
not.
Sick and tired
maybe
of
maybe not this year.
Six here, eight here, four here, six here. Give somebody 15 to 20 carries to see if they can pound the rock.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you. Then, yeah, you can give Benny the 20 carries.
Give Benny 20 and let's see if he can do it.
You want to do that. You just want to say one guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want somebody to get
one
rhythm.
Guy. If it's one guy this year, it's got to be Benny because I don't think Ridley's ready for that yet.
Certainly when he's not practicing.
Eric's
his
here.
Back
we're
hurts
gonna,
from
we're
taking
get
on
that.
Hits.
And after Eric's done, we have a quick Christmas game that John at South Carolina wrote in that we want to play. But, Eric, what's going on outside?
Inside because it's raining.
Inside?
Yep.
Inside. Big surprise to Fred Kirsch.
Yes. With, rainy
inclement
day.
Weather.
Full pads.
Full pads.
Now, in the past, they've stayed outside.
Because they wanted to get that rain working.
Ridley, as I just mentioned, Spikes and Vollmer, your absentees.
Ridley, Spikes,
today.
And Vollmer.
Looked like a very enthusiastic start today. A lot of hooting and hollering, like in somewhat of a serious way, but also in a somewhat of a loose kind of way. Like that, hard to really gauge what they were going for there, but we saw quite a bit of drills.
Oh,
who was leading the hooting and hollering?
Some coaches, some players.
Pepper.
No.
Matt. O'Brien. Fisher. I mean.
O'Brien. O'Brien.
Hello.
I know who you were talking about.
I had a mini stroke. Let's move on.
I wasn't really sure what to make of that. I mean, in a way, it was good that
they're loose after that debacle.
Yeah, and in a way, I want them to be a little bit more serious, but at the same time, have fun doing it.
You're never happy, huh?
No. Never.
He just admits it. I didn't see that coming.
Anything else to tell us?
Black
Not
jerseys?
Really.
No. Yeah, there were a ton of those. Real Patriots starts tweeting those out at like 9 in the morning now. So if you want them, you can go to Real Patriots.
He's got his Twitter panties in a bunch.
What if people don't do Twitter?
Well, then it'll be in my blog update later, so they can wait till then.
Speaking of Twitter, Fred.
Blod.
Yeah,
it is your tweet. Sort of exploding what? Here with some breaking news that Sandusky has been arrested again on sex abuse charges brought by two new accusers.
Okay.
So
are these the ones in his family? Are these, the relative is one of them?
I'll try to find a link. But
keep him off the street.
I don't know. Everyone's tweeting
The man
that.
Is sick.
Clearly.
Yeah. And I think that's the defense they're going to be. They're going to be going after the crazy defense.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's why you're seeing some of these comments in
right.
these interviews.
Right.
Those can then
that's
become evidence.
That's why the
evidence.
Lawyer's letting him do it.
Right. I used to dream about hundreds of boys just running into the room. What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
So, okay. All right, Eric, that's it. You don't want to give us any more information. We'll wait for your blog.
It's a tease. He's teasing them to send them to the blog. It's all about traffic and clicks and hits.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so let's play this game then from John in South Carolina. It's getting close to Christmas. Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Good. Who has a greater chance of being run over by a drive-by reindeer, Eldridge or Jeff in Vegas?
Jeff in Vegas.
Yeah, he's drumming up a lot of hatred.
I'd say Eldridge
recently.
Coming out of his truck on one of his long hauls.
No, I don't know, but there's a lot more hatred for Jeff these days, it seems.
Yeah, okay. Who is on
Sandy.
Who is on Santa's naughty / dear God, when I hear this guy's voice, I want to burn his house down list?
Eric.
Jeff in Vegas, Brooklyn Matt, or Tim in Pensacola, or Olivier?
Brooklyn Matt, by far.
Who's Tim in Pensacola?
Guy I like to fight with.
He had a huge argument today with Andy about Gronkowski and Jason Witten.
Andy almost jumped off a bridge one day on the pregame social when he found out live that Taylor Price was inactive. He freaked out. I thought that was you.
Anyway, my answer to that would be, let's see, burn the house down. I guess it had to be Jeff in Vegas.
Brooklyn.
Whoa, a lot of hate for Jeff.
Yeah, you should have heard it today.
There's been no support.
Oh, all hate. Before we continue, where'd the cookies come from? It's Wednesday.
Yesterday.
Yesterday's cookies.
Oh.
Still tastes pretty good.
Pretty.
There's some dried up pizzeria.
Yeah, no thanks.
Gino's pizza.
But that's actually from today.
I love the pizzeria Gino's.
That doesn't make it better.
No, it's not good when it's fresh, old, or anything in between.
If you were
love their sponsorship, though.
Which producer most deserves to get a flopping monkey doll in his or her stocking? Kevin, Matt, the web guy, producer, whatever, or Doc, or the girl who interned this summer?
What's a flopping
I'd like to
monkey
give
doll?
The girl who interned this summer
All
something.
Right.
What? Won't be floppy though.
I don't know what a flopping monkey doll is. That's the problem.
Yeah, I didn't. Is that a good or a bad? A floppy monkey doll. John, is that those sock monkey puppet thing?
The idea here is good, John, in South Carolina. It's just the execution isn't coming.
And was he talking about Ray Ray in that case?
Yeah. Maybe.
That's who I was talking about anyway.
I know who you were talking about.
Is she still with the company?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
If you were at the
Thankfully,
Patriots Radio,
she needs to be seen more. Can we get her in a more public? Can she take over for Eric? Maybe.
If you were at the Patriots Radio Christmas party and everyone dips into the punch bowl a little too much, which two personalities would you need to keep apart so they don't break down into a fight? Paul and the woman who was serving the punch, Eric and Lindsay, or Adam Jones and Pete Shepard?
No, Lindsay and I would resolve our issues in, otherwise.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, we would.
She would say ew when she's drunk like she says ew when she's sober.
I'm a happy drunk, Freddie.
That's true. You are.
It's like
you're a loud drunk, that's for sure.
It's when you're sober that you're fighting with everybody.
But
all right. What do we got? We got notes being passed around here.
Is there anything? Sox is looking, I think, to get coordinated with you two for later on.
Any news?
No news.
$64 million question?
No news.
They still haven't figured
it
out.
Just have a random voice in the background of the show.
No Sox hijacking the show once
again. Still
no
news on the
flex. I think we should word it just like that. All right.
Looking down his glasses at us. His nose.
No news on what?
Professor Smitty.
Grandpa over there.
Josh writes in, what, Andy, does not know what Alec Baldwin has done that was great? Three words, Glengarry, Glenn Ross.
I've actually never seen that and heard it is
great. Oh, my God.
Very good movie.
One of the single greatest performances in any film ever. It is something you never forget after watching the film. 7 minutes of awesomeness, not to mention 93 other feature film and TV roles.
Just because you do a lot of things doesn't mean you're great. It's the story of the Patriots' talent. But
Michael Caine has been in 4,000 movies, yet to be in a good one.
Come on now.
Was he Michael Caine? Was he
Caine
in the Blows?
Great. Oh, he does.
Wow.
He does not.
Well, it's okay for you to say it. I can't.
Well, what did Michael Caine ever do to deserve being shredded like that?
I thought you were like objecting to my word.
Was he in The Departed?
Who?
Is he like the police commissioner guy, helper or something?
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
He was good in that role. He was very good in that role.
Alec Baldwin's good. He's really good.
Now, was he the God complex I am God?
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys didn't change your tune a little bit here?
No, none of these I would consider great. There's a ceiling on I need to actors. See the Glengarry Glenn Ross. I've heard endless compliments
Glengarry Glenn Ross is a good movie. He was even in some silly movies that were kind of underrated funny and back in when he was young, when he was with
And now he's on 30 Rock, so he...
Never seen
Kim Basinger, The Marrying Man, silly, stupid movie, he was kind of funny.
He was also in a movie that was really disturbing. It was Blue...
What are you doing down
Blue
here, No
something,
Sox?
Something where he was like this...
Stealing pizza?
Petty bank robber. It was really, like...
I don't know that one.
Intense. He ends up, like, cutting off his own... it's ridiculous. Anyway, Alonzo writes, and great show as always. I'm with Andy on this one. I would have never put it up to begin with. What? Oh, the banner. This is the 16-0 banner. It was, of course, an accomplishment, but inevitably, it's a Super Bowl win that is and should be the great focal point. Seeing the banner brings back horrible, painful memories of that loss in Arizona. As for taking it down, just leave it there.
Yeah, see, the argument against putting it up in the first place is different than whether or not you should.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not the Packers has anything to do with it being there now. Because I think, Fred, you were one that you were against putting it up in the first place, weren't you?
No, that was more Maury. Oh, no, Maury was for it. Right.
He wasn't even here.
He wasn't even here then.
No,
he doesn't even know.
He chimed in. We heard from
him. He was on the score at the time.
The 16-0 should have
been
something in the hall. It should have been a display in the hall for that season. There should be no banners in the stadium.
I have no problem with commemorating something that's never been
done. Drawing attention to the lack of success from that season.
Yeah,
it doesn't draw any attention. It says 16-0. It draws attention to the success.
It draws great attention to the fact that they... should have been the six should have been inverted to a nine.
I disagree with my esteemed colleague. 69. I think they accomplished plenty that year. I think it was a remarkable achievement. If they didn't put a banner up, I wouldn't say that's ridiculous. They're ignoring this team and all that they did. But I didn't have a problem with them when they put it up, and I don't have a problem with it being there now. No, you guys definitely did. You all did.
I didn't have a strong problem. I would not have done it. I mean, was there any internal debate between football and management and...
I don't know.
I'd be interesting to know what that
would be curious.
Discussed, yeah. How it went.
John Rooks here.
John.
How's it going, John?
Excellent, Fred. Excellent.
What do you got going today for the playbook?
We will have a visit from the voice of the Redskins, Larry Michael.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get into a little of the Washington Redskins and really want to kind of take a look at unsung heroes today. Guys that have been sort of under the headlines, out of the headlines, and I think we've had a few of them that have come in and contributed, and I want to find out what our listeners, what our fans are thinking in terms of who has contributed more than their fair share.
Right, James Ahedebo.
If you had to name a 12th player award, one. Who would it be?
Yes, in a sense, yeah. That's what this is.
Yeah. A 12th player. Andy's pick would be good. Ahedebo, that'd be a good one.
Talk to him for PFW TV, John. You might want to watch that Comcast Thursday night, 7:30.
I don't get Comcast, sorry.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. John Rook is standing by.
Prepping
or
for
sitting
his first Big East game at San Diego State.
With the playbook.
Can't wait for
cross
that,
country.
Is that all sports?
Ravens.
San Diego State.
Time out. Ravens and Chargers just announced that they're staying as the Sunday night football game.
Oh, so that means the
Patriots
will
stay at
4:15.
But they've decided to have two Sunday night games.
No.
The power of CBS has spoken. Thank you.
Ravens Chargers will stay there.
Well, I told you we'd have some breaking news by the end of the show, and I was right. All right, well, we'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned for John Rook, Pete Shepard at 4. That's it.
It's easy to do. The things you wanted, I bought them for you. Graceless lady, you know how I am.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.